tent with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. For the first time since 2018, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Those get underway tonight in New York as they take on the Knicks at 8. The Cleveland Guardians are hot. They've won 6 of their last 7. They're in Detroit tonight facing the Tigers at 6:40. Parker Messick versus Keeter Montero, the pitching matchup. The Cincinnati Reds have lost 3 in a row. They'll look to snap that streak on the road against the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. You can hear it over on The Fan 2 starting at 6:10. First pitch is at 6:40. The Buckeye baseball team starts the Big Ten tournament this evening in Omaha against the Washington Huskies. The Bucks are the 6th seed in the tournament. You can listen to it right here on The Fan at 9:55. It's Diamond Dog Night at Huntington Park as the Clippers host the Louisville Bats. This one's sponsored by Green & Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville, or online at greenandsons.com.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. TLC's in the house doing his thing on the board per usual. And to my right today, ladies and gentlemen, I got a former Buckeye in Olin Tangi's own, the king of Olin Tangi, Joshua Perry in the building. JP, my guy, welcome back. How you feeling today, my man?
Feeling good.
Good.
Feeling good. The Kang.
That's you.
The Kang around here. Kang.
Yeah. No, a little bit more sauce on that than the Kang. Yeah, the Kang is a lot better. It's good to see you, man. How you been?
Can't complain. All is well. Glad to be back at it. We haven't done this in a little minute here.
It's been about a couple months, I think, at this point. You've been filling in everywhere, doing a great job.
Just looking, waiting to see your name on the schedule.
No, stop it, man. No, we love you around these parts, as you all know, and we love everybody. So thanks for listening wherever you're at, however you are listening. We appreciate you. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. We just love having you guys, and we're going to have some fun today. Bottom of the hour, 12:30, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com. He will join us to talk about the Buckeyes, a little offseason check-in with them coming out of fall ball. Or spring ball, excuse me, 1:30 will be Tyvis Powell. We'll break down the Browns and everything happening with him around the world of sports as well there. Just a quick reminder, you miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3 will be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. TLC, what's going on, man? How are you today?
I'm just trying to catch 1 week straight of sun. If I can get back-to-back days, that'd be great.
Okay.
But, I mean, dude, I don't know.
Is that what you're trying to do? Sit outside and tan?
That would be ideal.
Okay.
So Kristen can quit get on me about how pale I am. But I don't know where you're at with the baseball kids. I assume that their school ball is done, so you probably have your tournaments coming up. But, dude, like, it's just like all rain all the time around
it's
here.
It's crazy, man. It's supposed to be good temperature-wise today. Like, it was warm yesterday when we got out of here, and I think it's going to be warm again. But it's just that time of year, JP. It's going to ebb and flow. It's crazy. It's that Ohio stuff that we do, man. That's all this is.
It's, I mean, nothing we can do about it, obviously. But going from, was it last week where, like, the mornings were super cold, and then now yesterday is like 90 degrees. You step outside and you're like ready to faint.
Uh-huh.
Then you get the rain coming in too. So it's just a little smattering of everything.
A little heat in the morning, AC at night type energy is what we got
going on. I think that's one of the worst things that you can have with weather is when you have two different points of the day where it's like you leave your house dressed for one temperature and then you get to work and it's like, all right, now I'm dying. Mm-hmm.
Just put on the sweatshirt or the quarter zip and then peel off the layers, you know?
There you go. We also work in a building where every single room's at different temperatures.
Correct. That's true.
I've been complaining about that. It's never going to change.
Like, your studio is always warm. Ours is always cold. We can never figure it out around here. One thing that I think I have figured out, JP, coming out of last night, is this guy, Victor Wembanyama, is something we've never seen before, and I don't know if we're ever going to see it again. I was charged up about this matchup. I'm always here for the beginning of what could be rivalries in sports.
Mm-hmm.
whether it's individual, whether it's team-based. But I think between San Antonio and Oklahoma City, the young cores that they have, the season that we already had, meaning the Spurs getting after OKC in the regular season the way that they did, and now these teams meeting with a chance to go on to the NBA Finals, is what I love as a fan, no matter what sport it is, when you can get this type of energy between two teams that don't really like each other. But more importantly, when you can have a guy like Wemby be at the center of this the way that he was last night, this guy is as advertised and then some, right? Like, there are certain guys we see in sports that are tabbed to be something and then go and exceed those expectations. It feels like he's one of those guys that's going to have a chance to do that.
Yeah, and the wild part about that is the expectation for him was already so high, right? Like, he was coming in with all the fanfare. You never seen a dude that size handles the ball a little bit, shoot it a little bit, but he gets down in the paint and gives you that size that a lot of teams really kind of went away from for a while. Everybody wanted to spread out the court, and now you got a legit, like, big dude who can rebound and block shots and dominate the paint. It's been a ton of fun, and the one thing I will say is I think in sports a lot of times we appreciate – looking at the guys who are the freaks of the freak, right? So it's like Patrick Mahomes, what he can do throwing a football, we really appreciate that because we haven't seen a lot of guys do that. Watching LeBron James from his young days, even up until now, and seeing the explosion, all the different things that he can do, we appreciate it because you don't see it all the time. That guy, Wemby, is a one of one, period. And I think that is the biggest thing that's pulling people in toward him is you just... that size in all of the skills that he has, you just don't see.
You
ever.
Don't ever see it. 41 points last night, 24 rebounds in the game. I'll say
24
that again.
Rebounds.
24 rebounds to go along with 41 points. There's a highlight going around. If you've been on social media, if you've seen anything on TV as far as on ESPN or Fox or wherever you get your sports, you're going to see the logo 3. That is going around. That is in a very similar spot to where Steph Curry did it in the same gym. And so to your point, to see a man that's 7'4", 7'5" doing that, dunking on people, blocking everybody's shot, and just literally controlling the game on both ends of the floor is bananas to watch. So it's just awesome to see. And I was thinking about this morning driving in. If Victor Wembanyama wins the championship this year, will he become the face of sports? Because he is that attract. He is that alien. Like that's his nickname. But he is just a cut above physically and skill set wise what we see in any sport, really. So that question, JP, if they get it done, in your mind, will he become the face of sports?
I think, yes, I'm not going to say he will, but he certainly can be. And the biggest reason why to me is what the highlight reel looks like. I feel like we're in an era right now, especially with younger fans, where they consume sports through highlights. They watch Instagram, they're watching YouTube shorts, they watch TikToks, and you can't get them to sit down and watch a full game. The NBA is actually very wise about this and their approach to how they build out media. But you'll watch the highlights, and he's a walking highlight. Mm-hmm. And I think if they win a championship through the offseason, by the time the next basketball season comes around, every sports fan will have seen his highlights and been like, damn, that's crazy.
He is no doubt in that inner circle of faces of sports in the world. I think if he wins it, I don't think it will be him. But I think you're having a conversation about Ohtani, Wemby, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Then you're getting into the world of, if you like soccer, the Messis and Ronaldos and those guys that are absolutely moving the needle and have hundreds of millions of followers on social media and all of those things.
Now, the one thing that you did say, like with the exception of Mahomes, and the NFL is the NFL, so it's a different thing. But you're looking at that guys that have international star power, too.
Correct.
And I think that is really important in this conversation.
It's a great point that you bring up because that was part of the deal with the Ohtani situation with the Dodgers, and the way that they constructed that contract and deferred all the money was Ohtani's good with that because of what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm worldwide.
Yep.
I'm touching every inch of the globe with my name, and all the money that's out there for me, I can make that up, and the team can make it up as well because of what you're talking about. So the marketability for some of these guys is through the roof, and Wimby is absolutely a one of one there. We'll get into the Cavs and their Eastern Conference matchup with the Knicks at the end of this hour. So 12:45, we will tap into that. TLC was telling me that I'm sure you saw the story of the golfer that arrived a minute late.
Of course I did.
To his tee time. I believe his tee time was initially set for 7:18 a.m. He got there around 7:19 or whatever it may be. But he has now fired his caddy, JP. He is now so he is saying, it ain't my fault. Look at my caddy. He's the reason why I started with a two-stroke penalty, and I believe missed the cut by one or two strokes. And so do you like that he's saying, hey, this isn't my fault. It's my caddy's fault.
Do I like passing the buck? Do I like an adult acting like they don't have agency over their own life? The answer is hell no. And I guess the way part of this was is like, he's on the practice area, putting green or whatever the case is, and his caddy is standing there by the tee box saying, get your ass over here. We've got a golf. And he's a very chill guy. And so I think the part of it was, well, I don't like how you were getting all hype in this situation. You weren't chill enough for me, so you got to go.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because sometimes it can be like the coach that gets a roster that maybe he doesn't like. The GM picked the roster, obviously, but the coach gets fired.
Right.
And the coach is like, well, wait a minute. You're firing me for coaching up players that I didn't want anyway.
You made the mess, and now it's my
correct
fault. Yeah,
and that's what's going on here with that situation. So crazy stuff happening in the world of golf, just so much swirling around that. But I know that was one of the hotter stories last week, and we found out this morning that he has moved on from his caddy. Coming up, Ryan Day spoke to ESPN about whether or not a 24-team playoff would benefit Ohio State or not. We'll share that answer with you after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dude.
Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a dude.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Common Man and Timmy.
I want to know what it's like to be a couple inches taller.
You're 6'1".
I know. I'll be huge. I'm 6 foot. Don't give me the extra inch.
Whatever the hell
you one is.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on The Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A mostly sunny day for us today. Hot and breezy with highs getting up around 90 degrees. We're going to have a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, especially going into the evening and overnight, some which could be on the stronger side. Overnight, temperatures will get down into the 60s. And then for Wednesday, we could still see some showers and storms linger in the morning, with daytime highs only getting into the 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
I'll tell you what, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan. Give me a little Spider 2 Y banana. Bring it in here, guys, man.
Appreciate you, Coach Gruden. Joshua Perry in the building today for AR. Shout out to everybody listening. We appreciate you. We love you. Hope you guys are having a nice start to your day. I got into a bit of a back and forth with a friend of mine last night about this topic. The appropriate time to sit down and have dinner.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm going to give you two options.
Yep.
5:30 or 7:30. Which do you prefer? Which do you think is the more appropriate time to sit down and have dinner?
Is this at home only? Are we talking about if we're going out?
This was,
because
that's a great question.
Got separate things on this.
So let's say this is at dinner. This is at home for dinner.
Okay, so unfortunately, if it's at home, it's usually stretching closer to 7:30, okay. Right? You know, kids running around. I usually cook dinner. Typically, we have guests. My mom is over almost every day. My mother-in-law might be over. My father-in-law might be,
it's a beautiful thing. I love that.
It's great. Yeah. But you're over there having conversation. Things get away from you. 7, maybe 7:30, but the kids got to be down somewhere in the 8 o'clock range.
Okay.
So we can't push it too much. In a perfect world, 5:30 every single night. And when I go out to eat with my wife, we try to get a reservation 4:30, 5, 5:30.
Okay.
I want to be in and out. I want to be done. I want to be able to go home, kick my feet up, let the food digest a little bit, watch whatever I want to watch. And if I create a little room for a snacky snack or a dessert,
okay,
I don't feel bad about it. Gotcha. Because it's not a 10:30 p.m. dessert that I'm trying to consume.
Also, what you get if you do go out to dinner in that time frame that you laid out is you'll catch a couple happy hours as well. Oh. So there's that benefit too.
The overlap of the happy hour into the start of dinner.
It's a win.
Is where I live.
It's a win. It's a
where
win.
I live.
So I don't have kids. So I leaned more towards 7:30 and
fair
it was
enough.
Rooted in usually watching a game. Cause I love to sit down and watch a sporting event. So every day I usually dictate what I'm going to eat for dinner, when I'm going to eat dinner, around what game I want to watch that night.
That's fair. I feel like I don't have the luxury of like sitting in front of the TV and eating dinner anymore, because there are other folks that
yes.
have to be in
you
the equation.
Yeah. You got a lot going on. You got a lot going on. College football has a lot going on as always. And it just seems like, JP, there's going to be more and more for us to consume in the years to come. Ryan Day was asked by ESPN's Adam Rittenberg about the possibility of a 24-team playoff and how he thinks that can benefit or maybe not benefit Ohio State. And here's what he had to say. Quote, it's debatable whether it's best for Ohio State. You can go back and forth on that, but it's certainly best for the conference and great for college football in general. It engages more fan bases late in the season. When there was four teams, you just had to win two games. Now there's more games to be played. There's a bigger pool, a bigger field. But when you take a step away from it, you're always going to be late in the season playing for an opportunity to be the highest seed that you can be, end quote. JP, we all know what this is about for the most part.
Right.
It's not all about the money, but to me, the majority of it is. I think these conferences looked at the money that they created going from 4 to 12, and they said, hell yeah, let's do that again.
Right.
And I think that's where this is going. And I think when you do have the bigger playoff field, that's going to generate more money, which these programs need for NIL and with some how these coaching contracts are set up.
All right, let me stop you right there.
Please do your thing.
At what point, though, does the revenue get tapped out? Right. At what point do TV networks start to say this doesn't feel like the investment that we could or should make? At what point do fans say, I ain't got it? Right. Like we keep adjusting the sport to be able to fit everybody's revenue needs. But nobody has ever said, let's take an audit internally of what we're doing. Like, do we really need to buy this next machine? Right. Do we really need our travel to look a certain way? Right. Like that's the problem is I feel like we've just let the bloat happen in terms of like spending in facilities for a long time. And that's starting to come back around even a little bit, too. And now we're like, oh, well, we got to find more money or you spend less because the money just can't continue to be generated.
So when you brought up, I think, an interesting question from the network's perspective on investing in the product. And questioning whether or not it would be worth it moving forward. Is that because of what we've seen in some of these early round games in the playoff? Meaning that if we are, let's say, ESPN, and we know we have the playoff when we have the first round or whatever, right? And we got that James Madison matchup. Is that the fear that you're talking about as far as throwing out even more money from the network side?
So the way I've always thought about it is the networks in college football, at least, are only paying for a certain handful of games. It was the conference championship game, which is getting ready to go away. But that was one where they were like, we can make money on that game. There are the Ohio State Michigans of the world, those types of games where they're like, we can make money on that. You get an Ohio State versus Oregon, we'll make money on that. Ohio State, Penn State. They're not making money when Purdue and Minnesota play, right? Like those games right. are just the cost of doing business. Mm-hmm. I feel like now we're going to get more of those games. The regular season to me is going to become watered down.
No question.
We have expected with the expanded playoff that teams would schedule more difficult non-con games. And what we're starting to see is schools say, we're going to get out of our agreement to play these games. We're starting to see that, even with 24 potentially on the horizon. So that's not happening. And then, to your point, you're telling me that a postseason matchup we might get could be Iowa playing a group of six?
Doesn't do anything for me.
Like,
does nothing for me.
I think there actually does come a point where people are going to sit down and be like, what are we paying for?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious when that point comes.
You brought up the regular season. And I've said a few times how I think when we go to 16, when we go to 24, whatever that number is, that is going to take away from me the enjoyment of the journey, just as a fan watching these games, because for the most part, I know when I get Ohio State, Texas, that it's a big game, obviously.
Does it matter, though?
To a certain degree, it does, but it doesn't matter as much as I would want it to matter. And that's what I'm going to miss as a fan. Again, they don't care about my opinion because they know I'm the same person that's complaining about this, but I will be there at the end, too,
right,
to watch the college football playoff. However, if I know, like, the matchup that you mentioned or some of the matchups that we've already gotten out of the gate with the SMUs and the James and some of these teams that have been getting cracked in the first round, I might say I'll see you in the second round.
Yes.
That may be a decision I make as a fan when you expand this thing, because I don't think that the product is going to be better at that point in time just because you're telling me that these teams have a chance to play for the national championship when I know as a fan that I've watched the games with my own eyes. And again, just amateur eye stuff for me on the couch, I don't feel like those teams are worthy of being there or deserve to be there. And that's part of the issue, or one of the issues I have, JP, with where this is going.
It's one of the issues I have, too. And I think that's honestly a problem with the way that we cover the college football playoff. And I actually got into an argument on TV on set. We were talking about playoff projections. And I said, we need to stop pretending like every single one of these teams is going to make it into the 12-team field is actually a team that's capable of winning the title. And my colleagues were like, oh, but you know, if you're in, like, all you got to do is get hot and go on a run. And I'm like, okay.
I don't think this sport is designed for that.
I don't think it is either. I don't think it is either. You look at the way that the teams who have made runs, Ohio State coming in, you know, they lost to Michigan, they had the loss, and people were down on Ohio State. It was like, okay, it's still one of the most talented teams that we saw. Miami this year was a very similar way. It was one of the most talented teams in college football. They just had a couple bumps in the road, but you were never convincing me that some of the other teams at Texas Tech, for example, phenomenal year for them. Congratulations. They weren't talented enough.
When you were selling to me that the face of your team, and no offense to you, was a linebacker and Jacob Rodriguez.
Right, now I do take a little bit of offense there. It feels like it got a little personal over here.
That kind of told me everything I needed to know, JP, at least about their ceiling, right?
Yes.
Because they had so many reports about how much money they've invested in the program and all of that stuff, which I get, right? Like, I respect that, the effort that they're showing, but I'm like, man, like, the face of your team is Jacob Rodriguez. I don't know. Like, and then we saw in the playoff that their offense was limited and wasn't built for that type of run. And so I think what they're searching for is obviously, look, they're not going to want to leave money on the table. But part of this too, JP, I think is the lack of interest that I believe the sport is feeling from all the other bowl games surrounding the college football playoff. And I think they want to liven up a little bit more of that portion of the calendar, but I don't think they really need to.
The bowl numbers have actually been solid. This is number one. Number two, I think people fell out of love with watching bowl games because everybody on TV was telling them that they didn't matter anymore. And then players started opting out, and then they started feeling like they didn't matter.
Yeah. Wait, but that's in the reverse order, though. The players started opting out, and then they didn't matter.
No, I think...
In fact, you played in the game that ruined everything.
Yes, but I also think that there were people that were like, oh, you know, like, this is fun, but, you know, we were in the playoff era already. Like, those bowl games just were whatever. Like, once the playoff era came around, I think that's where it started to erode. And at least we got a couple of years of the playoff era where guys were in the games, but people are already starting to talk about how those games didn't mean as much because they weren't a part of the college football playoff.
It was all Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette's fault.
So my whole point with that is, like, we talked ourselves into these things not being important, but for a very long time, they were super important. From the to the point where there weren't a lot of postseason games when this whole thing started. And we got to a point where we were letting teams that were under 500 into the postseason because people wanted so much of it. And then we decided we didn't like it anymore. What happened?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, I don't care about the Mayo Bowl. I don't.
I do.
About
you
the
don't, you don't want to see him get dunked in Mayo?
No.
Are you kidding?
No.
So you don't like fun is what you're telling me.
You watching four quarters fun. Of that game?
He's not.
No.
He's
no,
not.
None of us are.
He's not. Who?
You're not. You're not an automatic every year I'm watching the Mayo Bowl, no matter who's in it, guy.
The Mayo Bowl and Pop-Tarts, I am watching.
Okay, but
regardless.
Okay, but you're...
Now, the rest of the bowl games, I'll jump in at some point. But I try to watch a little bit of all of them.
But the Mayo thing is... It's not the football.
It's a little bit of a gimmick, but that's also like a decent matchup. It's a team in the Big Ten, usually, or team in the ACC that both had like solid but not great years, and it's like, let's see what happens.
Okay.
The opt outs.
You know what? This is actually research for him because he does need to know who the backups are for next
True
year.
True that. You're deep in the weeds. Yeah, you're deep in the weeds. For me, at that point, the Mayo Bowl, nah. I'm sorry. Like, no.
So what's your cutoff? Like, are you watching?
I'm CFP or bust now.
Okay, so you're not even really participating in the other.
It's background noise. Some of those games at that point, because at that point we got the NFL going. Like, there's a lot happening around that too.
Tony the Tiger Sumble.
No,
come on, man.
It's just like, if the players don't care, how am I supposed to care? Right. Some guys aren't even playing because they're in the transfer portal.
That's
They're
the
not even
issue
going to the
I
NFL.
Have.
That is not the player's fault, though.
I know.
But I agree with what you're saying.
Thank you.
Stephen Means, Cleveland.com, does an awesome job covering Ohio State. Will join us in 2 minutes. We're Rothman and Ice. Right.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Help you get there.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
These two have a ton in common. Anthony loves hockey, and Maddie's always cold. This is Rothman and Ice.
That it is. Welcome back in. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on one of our favorites. He's Stephen Means, Cleveland.com. Does a tremendous job covering Ohio State football. Make sure you check out his work at the Buckeye Talk podcast as well. Steven, what's going on, man? How we feeling today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Good. Good to hear from you as always. We were reacting to, in our previous segment, some comments from Coach Day. He spoke to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN about the potential of a 2014 playoff and whether or not that would benefit Ohio State or not. Let me throw that at you. The thought of that and the impact a 2014 playoff would have on Ohio State in your mind is what?
Not a lot. I mean, I think at 12, we're already on the fringe of, hey, Ohio State, you better be in the playoff every year. We're going to have some conversations. I think 16, you essentially almost admit that. And at 24, it's like a foregone conclusion of, I don't want to say it devalues regular season for Ohio State, but I think right now where it's at, there's still stakes on the line for whether or not Ohio State makes the college football playoff. At 24, I think we all have a hard time viewing a world where Ohio State's not one of the 24 best teams in the country. And so from an Ohio State standpoint, I don't think there's an impact either way. I think it's more about Ohio State and Ryan Day being out there and maybe being a team player for the Big Ten as a whole.
Where do you fall on that? Because, you know, like the SEC, for example, it just feels like they're going to do whatever they feel like is in their personal best interest, regardless of the rest of college football. The Big Ten historically has done what's right for the conference and really thought about the big picture. But do you think that should be the approach right now in the changing landscape?
For the Big Ten, I think the Big Ten's, I actually think the Big Ten's doing the right thing here in the terms of seeing the big picture and not just going, well, we're one of the biggest conferences in the country. We should do whatever we want the way the SEC is going. I think Ohio State specifically has always had to strike that balance of when do we need to throw our weight around a little bit versus when do we need to be a team player because we have chosen to be a part of a team when Ohio State doesn't necessarily have to. So I think in a world where it doesn't negatively impact Ohio State, I'm fully for Ohio State leaning into the idea of being a team player. Now, if we get into a world where, whether it's playoff conversations, TV contract conversations, expansion whatever we want to talk about, whenever it starts to negatively impact Ohio State, I think that's when Ohio State needs to maybe throw its weight around a little bit more and not be such a team player. But with the playoff structure, if it doesn't negatively impact Ohio State, it's okay to just be another soldier in the Army.
Yeah, no doubt. Stephen Beans, Cleveland.com, joining us here on The Fan, talking all things Ohio State football. Stephen, let's go back to spring ball just a little bit, because we talked to you a few times throughout that process before we got to the spring game. And so now that the dust has settled, what's one thing that stuck with you coming out of spring ball, whether it's positive or negative?
The way they talked about the wide receivers, and the very like kind of blunt way of putting it, they didn't have guys who you could put the ball in their hands last year and they could make somebody miss and make a play with the ball in their hand. A lot of their passing attack was downfield play action, 40-yard deep balls. That's great, right? Cardinal Tate was awesome at that. Jeremiah Smith has been awesome for that for the last 2 years. And so you still need that element, but I think what might just help this offensive line not run into a situation where if you're playing a Reuben Bain or an Akeem Mesidor of 2026, where it doesn't feel like Julian Sand has been harassed all game, is if you found ways to get the ball out of his hands quickly and get the ball in the hands of Jeremiah Smith, get the ball in the hands of Devin McEwen, Brandon Ennis, Chris Henry Jr., Kyle Parker, and Brock Boyd, and they make the plays for him. Instead of it having to be, let's throw it 40 yards down the field to get a 40-yard gain, what if we threw it 7-yard slant and then J.J. makes somebody miss and it's still 40 yards at the end of the day? And so I think it was some insight into how they might approach offense this year. It was some insight to, hey, what we were seeing were maybe some of the problems with the passing attack. They saw those exact same issues. And I think Cortez Hankton's history at LSU shows that he might be the right guy for the job to maybe pull some of those things out of Ohio State that it's kind of gotten away from over the last couple of years, simply because of the way that wide receiver room was built.
All right, so let's stay on spring ball and kind of the big picture look here. You mentioned wide receiver room, some of the changes they need to make, probably are going to have some young contributors this year. Running back room was banged up during spring. There's questions about the offensive line. And then you flip it over to the defense. They just lost a whole bunch of good players. So throughout the summer and into training camp, which side of the ball do you think has more work to do?
I think it's still the defense, because a lot of the pieces that we're talking about on offense that we're missing are veterans who have played a lot of football. And so on the offensive line, I think the big conversation is, where is Austin Saraville playing? Is he at tackle or is he at guard? And that if he's at guard, that means maybe you've got Ian Moore at left tackle, Phillip Daniels at right tackle, and then the other two returning guys with Luke Montgomery and Carson Hinson. If he's at tackle, does that mean Josh Padillas had a really good summer, and so now he's playing right guard? And then at running back, it's like, okay, there's no reason to think that Bo Jackson, Isaiah West have like long-term issues, so it's just them getting caught up to speed, and I think they'll be able to do that this summer. I think defensively, I say this with a grain of salt because we're also coming off of a season where we went, hey, Ohio State lost 8 starters on defense. What's the team going to look like? And then they had the best defense in the country. But you're doing that again. You've only got 3 or 4 returning starters on defense, and there's a lot of guys who need as many reps as possible. If you think of a guy like Riley Petitjean, who wasn't a full participant this spring, he could have used those reps. So on the defensive line, there's a lot of new guys. On the secondary, there's a lot of new guys. I think the only things we know for certain right now on this defense are maybe Kenyatta Jackson, Peyton Pierce, Jermaine Matthews, Jalen McClain, and Devin Sanchez. There's a lot of other moving parts where we think they're going to have a role, but it's like, how good are they going to be in that role? And so I think offensively, yes, injuries, but at least we know the names and where they might be. Defensively, I think Matt Patricia is still trying to figure out where he wants to put guys, where guys play best, and how he's going to devise a scheme around that.
Do you have a feel yet on the Arthur Smith, Ryan Day, game day play calling situation yet? I know it's really early on in the process, yeah. But just listening to those guys talk and how they've gone about spring so far, what are your thoughts on what that may feel and look like on game day?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting the way they handled it in the spring. Day was saying that when Arthur Smith first got here, he like completely took a step back and just allowed Arthur Smith to implement things, to install things. And Ryan was really more in CEO, I'm going to handle the program mode. He wasn't as with the offense as we've seen in years past. He wasn't always in offensive meetings. He was just being more of the overseer of things. does that continue on to the year? Now that football is maybe more at the forefront than maybe recruiting will be once you get into the season here. But I think this might be the most hands-off we've seen Ryan Day when it comes to the offense. And it's a lot of moving pieces to this, right? It's where the sport is and what deserves his attention year-round at this point. It's going from, with all due respect, Brian Hartline, who was a very good developer, a very good recruiter, but that was his first year calling plays. And so maybe Ryan had to have maybe a hand on the wheel in the way he didn't have to with Chip Kelly. But also Arthur Smith's been around the block, right, at the NFL level and has plenty of experience. I think this is the benefit of Ryan having two NFL head coaches as his coordinators, is that when it comes to the X's and O's stuff, I'm not saying he's not going to be involved at all, but maybe we see his involvement be less than we've seen in years past, because he's got two guys on both sides of the ball where he can go, this guy's got it. If you need me, I'm here. But instead of this being what it's been for the last 7 years, where it's like it's somebody else calling Ryan Day's offense because he's either the guy who's the biggest inspiration for Ryan Day and Chip Kelly, or it's the guy who is maybe Ryan Day's had the biggest inspiration towards, and that's Brian Hartline, or it's Ryan Day directly. Now it's a guy who maybe speaks a different language and is a complete outside hire who is coming in and giving some outside perspective that might allow this offense to grow a little bit more, especially when you have a returning starting quarterback.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this one. You're going to be obviously at all these games covering it well, but there's been a lot made of this schedule this year and how this could be a little bit of a bumpy ride for Ohio State, just based off of respect for opponents on paper right now. So let me hit you with this, Stephen Means. The game that you're most excited to cover this year is which game?
I'm going to throw two. Texas, because I've never been, and I'm just interested to see what the environment down in Texas is. And then from a football perspective, I think the only team in the Big Ten who can look Ohio State in the eye when it comes to who has the better wide receiver room right now is Oregon, with what they might have three dudes, to be frank about it. And I think the strength of this Ohio State defense might be its secondary this year. And I think Oregon might be able to test that maybe more than anybody else, not named Texas. And so Oregon, obviously Oregon beat Ohio State at Oregon in 2024. Oregon, the last time they came to Ohio State in 2021, they beat Ohio State then as well. Can Ohio State maybe get some get back in terms of regular season games? But then there's also just Dan Lanning storylines. There's guys on both sides who feel like, hey, maybe that guy could have been a Buckeye. Hey, maybe this guy could have been a Duck. There's just so many storylines between those Texas games and that Oregon game that I think make those games really intriguing, whether you're talking just like narrative stuff or just football stuff.
No doubt. Should be a couple bangers, that's for sure. He's Stephen Means. Does a great job covering Ohio State football over at Cleveland.com. As always, my man, appreciate your time. Have a great day and a great rest of the week.
I'm sorry, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Stephen joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Coming up, the Cavs are four games away from being four games away. Are they playing with house money in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Knicks that starts tonight? We'll talk about that next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Did your...
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dude. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dude.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Near you.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
Anthony can follow direction very well, as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the building today. Cavs, Knicks, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. I think you were in one day with TLC and myself when we brought up the topic of celebrities that are getting close to being the put on the list of overkill. Tired of seeing you. And I think we're going to see a few of those people tonight.
By the way, you were so right about one of them.
Which one?
Which one did we bring up?
You brought up Drewski.
Oh, Drewski redeemed himself for me.
What
because,
did he do?
Oh, he put out a couple of fire videos after we had this conversation. Ones that were hilarious, but also towed that line of like, I'm really going to make you think about society.
Yeah.
And that was redemption because he was getting real over the top and it just felt like he was doing anything. But then he made us think a little bit.
I think he put one out last week or the week before about the British actors.
Yeah.
And how they have amazing American accents, yes. Right? And then you hear an interview and it's like, what?
Like Idris Elba.
Yeah. Damson Idris, I think, is the other guy. Yeah, I believe, yeah. Right? That was in F1, yep. Which is crazy. But yeah, Drewski. So
the one he did about the church pastors.
Okay. You sent me that one and I was in
that
tears.
That was amazing.
I was in tears because it spoke to me.
I went to a church like that once upon a time. Pastor had me over for Bible study at his house. He was living in San Diego. So he had a gate to the subdivision.
Yeah.
Then you tell the security person at the gate who you're going to see. He's like, okay, well, you're going to drive to the next gate and tell security there. I'm like, two gates? I'm like, damn. I've never seen two gates before. So then I pull up to his house and he's got like two Beamers sitting out front, mm-hmm. And like a G-Wagon, and he's got a security guard who like does security for his house. You walk out to the back, there's a pool and it overlooks this beautiful golf course. And I'm like, so you did this off of preaching.
Tough
and
stuff.
He was like, well, no, it was really my book sales. Oh, sorry.
New York Times bestseller money. Is that what he's got?
And so When I saw that video, it really resonated with me.
Speaking of security guards, I was reading this article the other day. I don't know if it was true or not, that Kim Kardashian apparently spends $10 million a year on security.
Feels a little overkill.
She did have the situation, I think, in Paris, in the hotel room where
she
got
be a way to,
robbed. But she's
to
hired,
get it done with a little bit less.
She's hired the elite of the elite, I guess, former Secret Service agents and all of that.
Imagine what that network's like, though,
year.
Because you're not typing into Google and finding that security. Like you gotta ask your other very
you
wealthy
know
friends,
some people,
and they gotta be willing to give up the information.
Correct. Some off the grid stuff.
Yeah.
Some stuff that I will never have access to in my life.
We're not in those rooms.
Correct. Our key card does not work to get into that room. But tonight, it'll be Spike Lee. It'll be Timothée Chalamet. It'll be Kylie. He's with Kylie Jenner, I believe, now.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that. I think it's cool. Like Madison Square Garden for me, JP is on that bucket list for a Knicks game.
Totally agree.
With this type of atmosphere, I don't think it can get much better than that. But going into break, I teased and I asked a question. Are the Cavs at a point now to where we're looking at them in the Eastern Conference Finals, after what they've done the last few years, and viewing this as a house money series? How do you feel about this and what you've learned about the Cavs so far?
I think we probably are looking at it like that. And I think if you were to look at the Knicks' perspective, like, I think that they're very excited to be back at this spot. But, like, they are clearly in that we-need-a-ring mode right now. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you looked at the beginning or the middle of the year, even when the Cavs made the trade for Harden, I'm not exactly sure it was like, we have to get a ring right now. Like, you certainly with Spider, like, you want to get that done.
Yeah.
But I think their perspective is a little bit more urgent than ours. Now, if you walk into that locker room, they're like, no, we're not playing. Like, this is serious business.
Yeah.
Like we got to do this. We made it here. Yeah. This isn't good enough for us. But I think as fans, a lot of us are sitting back like, this is a spot where we wanted to get to. We wanted to see our team here with a chance to advance to the finals.
That was my stance coming into this season for them, was you get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that's a good box to check this year because of where I think they've been the last few years.
Yep.
And I think there's something to a process of a player or a team over time to where if they don't win the championship in year three or four, when we see them ascending over years one and two, that doesn't mean that season was a failure. Now, they can't lay an egg. Like, if they get mollywopped in this series losing four or five,
it's going to be bad.
That's a problem.
Yes.
But I think a competitive series with where I think this core can still be over the next couple years, I think will be good enough for me personally. Jared Allen is the guy I cannot wait to see tonight. He is a guy that over the last two series has done a great job in two game sevens stepping up to the plate. However, JP, the last time in a playoff series that we saw Jared Allen face off against the Knicks and Mitchell Robinson, he threw out the quote, I think the lights were a little too bright.
Well,
And that, to me, coming from a professional athlete, is an unacceptable quote. I'm sorry. Don't tell me that.
But it comes back to the thing you just said of there's a progression. That was part of the progression for him. Like, it's honest. I don't want to hear it either. But I hate getting on dudes and being like, oh, man, I wish you wouldn't have said that, because we want them to be honest with us.
We do want them to be honest. I think it was too honest.
It was a little too honest.
When you're telling me that you were shook, I don't like hearing that. I don't like hearing that.
They had to go through that, though.
They did. That's what I agree with you on. And I think that's what's made them a better team right now and made them resilient. And that showed itself in game seven.
No doubt.
It was just embarrassing a few years ago.
Oh, no, it certainly is.
For him waking up this morning, as a former, when you have a chance to get your lick back,
you gotta get that get back.
You gotta come out with that edge, and I'm sure he's feeling some of that. So it's star power everywhere, both on and off the court.
Agree.
But with James Harden,
this has got to bring some consistency.
No question, yeah. JP. This is the guy that when you traded for him, you thought that he would be able to provide more for you in these moments than Darius Garland did.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that was because of Darius Garland's injury stuff or just his lack of peak play at the time with where he is in his career, you thought maybe Harden can deliver that. But I think right now the collective of what the Knicks have going on, it feels better to me as far as momentum just coming into the series.
I agree.
Because they've been wiping the floor with everybody. But this Cavs team, and especially the core four, I think these guys are going to answer the call. And I think we're in store for a very competitive series. And usually what it comes down to, as you know, is can an ancillary piece, meaning a role player, steal a game or two on the road? And for the Cavs, is that going to be Sam Merrill? Is that going to be Max Strus? Sam Merrill coming off a banger of a game in Detroit, JP.
That's my thing. When it comes to that, it feels like the Knicks have the advantage. They've been playing 10 guys in the postseason. And by the way, they're going to be rested too. So that would be my biggest concern. But if we're talking about you get peak top flight performances from the Cavaliers and you get the same from, I think it can be very competitive.
Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell going at it, all these other stars too. It won't get much better than what we get tonight as far as the energy in the game, the environment in the game with a chance to go on to the NBA Finals in this series. After the update at the top of the hour, we're going to do a 2026 Heisman Trophy draft. JP, TLC, and myself, you play along with us after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Newman.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. A little bit of breaking news in the NFL. Minnesota has officially been named the host of the 2028 draft, and by a unanimous vote, Nashville has been awarded the 2030 Super Bowl. For the first time since 2018, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Those get underway as they head to New York to take on the Knicks tonight at 8. The Cleveland Guardians in Detroit facing the Tigers at 6:40. Parker Messick versus Keeter Montero, the pitching matchup. The Cincinnati Reds on the road against the Philadelphia Phillies. You can hear that over on The Fan 2 tonight, starting at 6:10 with first pitch at 6:40. The Buckeye baseball team starting the Big Ten tournament tonight in Omaha against the Washington Huskies. Listen to it right here on The Fan and beginning at 9:55, and it's Dime a Dog Night at Huntington Park as the Clippers host the Louisville Bats at 7. This one's sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Try UDF's new ice cream Quake flavors for the summer, only for a limited time.
Maddie ranked the most dynamic duo of all time, Caesar Salad and Moscow Mule. This is Rothman and Ice.
Hour number two. Welcome back in. Maddie Ice rocking out with Joshua Perry, former Buckeye in the house today for AR. TLC in the building as always. Appreciate your time. Want to let you know that you can join us for the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. It's a 5K run and a 1 mile walk happening Saturday, June 20th at Otterbein University in Westerville. Some of your favorite fan personalities will be there, including T-Bone and Tyvus, Common Man and Timmy Hall, and Eric Reeser. And yes, 10 TV's Adam King and Nicole Sheeran will be running the race in silly outfits. Every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, and awesome gifts from Logan Services. The Fan 5K is presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. Sign up today at 971therace.com. Again, you can sign up today at 971therace.com. TLC, how is your training coming along for this 5K?
Not good, I could do it.
Okay, so today, if it had to happen, you could knock this out today?
I'd have to stretch a lot. But I think, well, it's 3 miles and, you know, 3.2, something like that.
Change.
I think I can swing that.
Okay.
I don't know if we're doing the full 10K.
Okay. Yeah, what I've learned as I've gotten a little older here, JP, is that he touched on something that I have to do now. I can't do anything physical without strength. Like, I used to be able to just go out and do whatever.
Pre and post.
Just whatever. Now, if I don't stretch, I am cooked.
You know, it's funny because Tyvus swears that he doesn't need to stretch. And I bring this up because I've told him on numerous occasions, I don't go to the gym without doing a stretch first. I won't even go down to the court and shoot hoops, like not even play, just shoot without stretching. I go to the golf course.
Yeah.
I'm that guy on the tee box.
Okay.
Get a little stretchy stretch before I get that driver out.
How's the golf game looking?
Bad.
Yeah. I didn't know that you were really heavy in. Are you heavy into golf?
I'm not as much as I would like to.
Okay.
It's time consuming.
It's about that time where you and I think really start to get after it.
Let's do it
out there, because there's a lot that happens apparently I hear on the golf course. A lot of business.
Nobody's doing that business. They like to say that's justification for spending 4 hours away from whatever else they could be doing.
So you're saying it's completely untrue.
It's good for camaraderie. Yeah. Like, if you're in that world, certainly I do think, like, people who are in business get business. Me and you ain't doing no business.
No, not you and I.
We're just having fun.
Kicking it.
Yeah.
We're just out there kicking it. TLC, you're not the biggest golfer either, right?
No, it's too expensive to start.
Get you some clubs off of Marketplace and go play the city courses.
If I, I can barely make, the ball's not even moving, I can barely make contact. I don't know, just like growing up playing baseball, I couldn't just like drop my swing. So something's off. Uh-huh. I don't know. Especially with like the way the driver is shaped, like the irons, I can hit it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But like the driver where it's like you got the shaft and then it's like jutted outwards, I can't like, my hand-eye coordination is so off trying to hit a golf ball.
It's a humbling game. Like, it is a humbling game, man. It's
the most,
like,
frustrating fun you could ever have.
I think that's a great way to point it. If you don't have patience,
none.
I don't think you should bother.
No.
That's why
a dude like you, it's why older folks, I feel like, are better with it, because they can just be in the moment and be patient and like take each individual swing for what it's worth. Young dudes?
No.
You want to be great today?
Nah, I'd love to be great today. If I were good at golf, I'd want to go all the time. But the amount of money that it would take to become good, to then spend more money to keep playing, like, it's just...
It's a lot. It's a good time.
I would so love to be the guy where it's like, if my buddies needed a fourth, they could be like, hey, you golf, want to come? I'd be like, sure. Yeah. But like, I'm not worth anything on the golf course.
Me either. But the three of us, you know, maybe we can go out there and hack it around together. That's maybe what we need to do. Because I also think, too, with where I am with my level of golf, I always feel bad when I play with guys that are good. Because then I don't want to be the guy that's holding up the whole party. Like, no. I hate being that guy. So I always kind of turn down going out and playing golf with people that I know are much better than me, because I don't want to waste their time either.
That's where I'm at. I like to play with people who are just as bad as I am, right? Like,
let's just pick it up and go.
Well, that's my deal, too. I have no problem doing that, because I don't want to slow everybody else on the course down. So, like, if I got to pick up my ball, I'm just going to pick it up. Like, we could just start over at the next tee box. I don't care.
So you guys are cool with, like, not keeping score? Be like, I just throw
rarely,
whatever.
100%. Rarely do I keep score.
Okay.
Like, handicapping stuff? Like, nah. Like,
so you're never golfing with Rothman?
But I don't think AR would press us on that. Like, I think he would be one of those people that's really good at golf that would have some patience with us. Now, would he come back out?
He's a nice guy.
Would he do another round after that? Maybe not.
No, he'd go do a round by himself afterwards to get a real round in. He'd play 36 that day.
And then would be like, oh, guys, my back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yes. Shout out to AR. We love him for sure. Rondi's part. Hope he's having a good day off. So we have planned a Heisman draft.
You can do 1.5 segments on it.
We can probably get the rest of this segment and maybe the next segment knocked out as well doing this. So TLC, you always cook up the order. Are there any rules that we need to be abiding by here, or is it just straight up what we think it is on the surface?
This is, as I'm playing NFL music because I don't have college music, we got 4 rounds, so we're actually snaking it. Usually we do the hodgepodge order because we usually do 3 rounds, and so we have an even number of rounds, which allows us to snake it, so it's going to be entirely fair. I already did the random name generation prior to the show, so round 1 is going to be Joshua, then Maddie, then me, and then we'll just snake it back in round 2. And this is your selection of who is going to win the Heisman Trophy. Not who's finishing second, not who's finishing third. At the end of the season, whoever's number 1 is the only one who gets credit for it.
There we go. Right on. Joshua Perry, my friend, you, sir, are on the clock.
All right. Well, I'm going to take one of TLC's guys.
No.
And this is part of the issue is I've watched too much of all these guys, so I've seen... I feel like I'm projecting some of the things that could go wrong, so I actually do feel a bit nervous about this. CJ Carr, to me, didn't get enough credit last year for the way that he played. Now, he threw it to the other team a little bit too much when they actually played decent opponents, but he's big, he's got a strong arm, he moves pretty well. Like I like his opportunity. The biggest issue for him is the schedule is not going to have a lot of Heisman moments.
Which can, you know.
Well, there's your leader in the clubhouse coming off the board first.
All right, so we'll go CJ Carr off the board. TLC, let me ask you this. As a Notre Dame fan, if you had the 1-1 in this draft, were you going to take CJ Carr?
I would have heavily, heavily, heavily considered it.
Okay.
I may have talked myself out of it because Notre Dame does not have a conference championship game and Heisman voters are stupid and have an insane, no offense to Bishop and Friends, where over half of their show are Heisman
voters.
They
are insane, though.
They have an insane recency bias. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that CJ Carr will not have a most recent game on the most recent week, that is going to hinder him. So he has to enter conference championship weekend as the runaway favorite.
I like your call of taking CJ there. I'm not going to overthink this thing. I'm going to take the guy that's tied for first on the board to win the Heisman with your guy, CJ Carr. I'm going Arch Manning here.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go Arch Manning here. I like the way the schedule sets up for them as far as the opponents they will host at home. Obviously, Ohio State. You'll get Ole Miss at home. The Oklahoma game's at a neutral site. But I like those matchups, JP, and I also like, in mid-November, the showcase game of going to LSU. So I like that as far as the eyeballs, Lane Kiffin, that whole show, the environment's going to be nuts. I'm going to go with Arch Manning with my first pick here, and then they'll close it out with a road game at Kyle Field against Texas A&M.
I felt like the end of the season out of him was a little bit of a pump fake.
Okay.
I don't think he puts.
And what was the beginning of the season?
Some empty calories.
It was nasty.
Are you saying some empty calories at the end?
I don't think he puts a ton of zip on the ball. Okay. Sometimes he looks a little bit.
He's been in the lab.
Flustered.
He's been in the lab.
All these guys have been in the lab.
Been in the lab. Yeah. All right. So we got CJ Carr off the board. We've got Arch Manning off the board. TLC, you are now up, sir. Who do you got?
Well, here's the problem: is I liked those guys 1 and 2. I think I would have taken Arch number 1. There's no way. I mean, if I had CJ Carr here, I'd take him for sure, even about the conference championship game. I don't love a third.
Okay.
But Julian Sain's a pretty safe one just because Ohio State's going to win me a ton of games for this. And so I think that if it's like last year, where last year was kind of just the Heisman odds followed whichever teams were at the top of the rankings, Ohio State's going to be there. So I'll take Julian Sain number 1, and we can do one more round. Heading, or it doesn't matter when we cut it off, to be honest with you, with the break. But with my second pick, I don't want to go 2 Buckeyes and split the ticket there. I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the odds, to be honest with you. I think this guy's a really good player. I don't know if the wins will follow. Marcel Reed is a really good dual threat quarterback.
Okay.
And so I think the stats can get – that's like a go big or go home type of pick.
They could be eye-popping.
Yes, it is.
They could be eye-popping some of those numbers.
Some boomer bust there.
So let's leave it there.
All right.
We're going to go to break. We will come back and we will round out the rest of our Heisman Trophy draft coming up right after the break. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Got a craving?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A mostly sunny day for us today. Hot and breezy with highs getting up around 90 degrees. We're going to have a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, especially going into the evening and overnight, some which could be on the stronger side. Overnight, temperatures will get down into the 60s, and then for Wednesday, we could still see some showers and storms linger in the morning, with daytime highs only getting into the 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Maddie's favorite show is Big Brother. Don't read into it. He's only watching strangers through hidden cameras. You're listening to Rothman and Creepy Stalker Guy.
Bottom of the hour. The People's Champ, Tyvis Powell, will join us. We'll talk everything with him. Anything and everything. You know, Tyvis Powell is always ready to go. He's ready to go, so bottom of the hour, don't miss that. That'll be a good time, as always. If you're just now joining the party, in our previous segment, we started a Heisman Trophy draft for 2026, obviously. JP was on the clock with the first pick. He selected CJ Carr. I followed up with Arch Manning. We're doing a snake draft, so TLC followed up with two picks, Julian Sand and Marcel Reed.
Yep.
So TLC, I am now on the clock.
That is correct, in round two.
Fellas, I'm just going to... I don't think I'm overthinking this thing. I wanted to do something a little different here, something deep in the weeds, but I'm not going to get crazy with my second pick. So I'm going to go Dante Moore. I'll go Dante Moore.
I'm mad.
JP, the guy that I probably would have been the number two overall pick in this draft. Weapons are going to be everywhere. At this point, I'm going to be surprised if he's overwhelmed by anything in a game at this level. So I think the productivity at a high level should be consistent this year for Dante Moore. So give me Oregon's QB1 for my second pick.
It pisses me off because it's a guy who I wanted to pick. I think he is phenomenal player. Certainly had some moments like late in the year where it just was like doing a little bit too much. So I'm glad he came back. All right, so I don't know if I want to do this, but it feels like the wise move for me right now.
Real quick before you make your pick. Yes. TLC, I just want to make this clear. Are we doing three or four?
Four, so
okay,
you go
so
back
we're going
to four. Back.
Okay, all right, so here we go. All right, so does lightning strike twice in Bloomington? Josh Hoover?
Okay.
Listen, we know Cignetti. He had Curtis Work, did his thing there. Fernando Mendoza did his thing there. Now he brings in Hoover.
Yeah.
It's the guy he wanted. Got Nick Marsh, Charlie Becker's back.
I know how
people
highly,
are going to be watching them, too.
No question. I know how highly you think of Cignetti. How could you not at this point? But I think you're bringing up something that I think is kind of scary, is his eye for quarterback talent, but also quarterback development that's happening over there in Bloomington. And so if that is a thing, which I think at this point it is, that's going to continue, I think, a lot of this momentum. So Josh Hoover, a little bit of an unknown, but I think based off of what he's been as a player, to your point, what's happening over there in the lab over there at Bloomington, be surprised if he's not a good player for them.
Yeah, I mean, Fernando was unknown, too, yep, at the beginning of last year. We saw what happened there. All right, so I'm going again. Here's one, and I'll let you guys think about how you feel about this.
Okay.
To me, it feels like this is a year where USC has to be a college football playoff team. And we know what Lincoln Riley's like with offenses. He's got Jay Maiava in the system now for a couple years. I think if they're going to be good, it's going to be because of the way that he plays. I think there's going to be pressure for them to be good. So give me Jaden Maiava.
Okay. I'm here for it.
It's back. Fine. You got an agenda against the school, but that's okay.
Back to me, TLC?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got two more picks here. All quarterbacks right now.
USC stands for University of Spoiled Children. Go tell Southern Cal to bring a damn lunch because it's going to be a long-ass day. Most of the football players chose USC over UCLA because it's easier to spell.
Oh, rest in peace, Lou Holtz. Rest in peace. All right, I'm going to go to another quarterback. I'm going Darian Mensah. Down there at Miami now? Do I have that right, I believe?
Yes.
Down there at Miami, I trust Mario Cristobal and what he's going to have up front.
Yep.
As a former offensive lineman himself, now the head coach down there. We know what time it is when it comes to Malachi Toney. He's going to have an explosive playmaker. And I also look around the ACC, and I'm not too spooked from top to bottom for what I see in that conference. I liked Mensah last year. 34 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I'm going to go with him, and we were speaking about Indiana and what they're creating as far as momentum goes at the most important position. Same thing could be said down there in Miami, right, with Cam Ward and Carson Beck having some good moments and playing in a national championship game. Mario Cristobal's got something going there, so I'll go Mensah.
All right. You know what? Screw it. Let's just forget about the clock. Just we'll do as many rounds as we can fit into this. I didn't want to do Saiyan and Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the fact that he's fallen this far kind of doesn't give me a choice. So I guess I'm only doing this because I have back-to-back picks. I guess I'll take Jeremiah Smith, but I don't like going non-quarterback.
Okay.
So that's the first. And since I just made the executive decision that we don't have to stop after this fourth round, I'm going to hold on to somebody I wanted to take and save him for later. I guess. I mean, he's third in the... I'm not even in love with this dude, but in just terms of value, getting the guy who's third in the Heisman odds in the fourth round, I guess I'll take Trinidad, but I don't love it.
It's a good pick. I like that. I like that. Yeah. How do you feel about that whole situation that went down with him and the NCAA and the eligibility?
Hate it all.
Yeah.
But the one exception I will give is it feels like his case was more of a they didn't get the paperwork right rather than he's just trying to game the system.
Right.
But I hate it.
Back to me.
Yep.
I'm going Sam Levitt.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go with Sam Levitt. I believe in Lane Kiffin and what he is as an offensive mind. I like some of the talent that followed Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge, and I like some of the talent that remained in Baton Rouge. So I'm going to go with Sam Levitt, a guy that's played a decent amount of football in his career, got some experience at Arizona State, started at Michigan State. But I'm going to go with Levitt down there in Baton Rouge, and I'm going all quarterbacks so far. So I've got Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Mensah of Miami, and Sam Levitt of LSU.
All right.
Back to back.
Let me go with a non-quarterback in this one. Malachi Toney. Feels like there's a lot of buzz coming off the end of last year. He's got electric speed. I think he needs to get bigger. He fumbles the ball too much. Don't care. He's electric. So I'm going to go non-quarterback and take Malachi Toney.
Okay.
And then you said back to back.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I really don't like any of these guys. Can I be honest?
Please.
Where do I go? Where do I go? Where do I go? Just the issue with some of these guys, I just don't know how good their teams are going to be.
Bryce Underwood?
Right. So, hell no. Let me throw this one at you.
Lincoln?
Drew Mestemaker.
Damn.
Interesting scenario there. This is a guy who transferred to Oklahoma State. Yeah. Who is to say that they aren't Texas Tech from last year and just become much better overnight, and he's a big part of that story?
This is a good pick, because that was going to be my next pick. He's supposed to be a little bit of the sleeper. Don't be surprised if this guy pops up and we're talking first round stuff with him.
Yep.
Come this time next year, right? Because he transferred from North Texas.
He was North Texas.
And so, yeah, that's one of the names to watch for sure.
My next pick, I'm going to go with a guy that I believe could give me a little bit of the vibe that TLC wants from Marcel Reed. I'm going to go with Lenore Sellers here.
Ooh.
Ooh. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
I swear.
I'm going to go with Lenore Sellers here and hope that the year of experience that was clunky going into an offseason to where I think he's going to come out on the other side as a better player. JP, I just like what he brings to the field as far as the frame and just the ceiling that I think he has.
Okay.
And so with my fifth pick, I'll do a little shot in the dark here. I'll go Lenore Sellers, QB1 for South Carolina.
All right. Two more rounds. I get back to back here. I love this dude. And when I say I love this dude, I mean I've never watched one of his games. When I say I love this dude, I mean I can't pronounce his name. But Jerron Kiawe
Sagapuletele.
Cal's left-handed true freshman quarterback from last year.
I'm in.
Ice loves him.
I'm in.
His highlights look good.
Hey,
I wasn't watching last.
Yes. I'm telling you, man. I think this is a good late-round pick by you. I don't know what happened. JP just watching some late-night college football last year.
So you'll watch
asleep.
That, but you won't watch a bowl game?
It's okay. In-season regular season
whatever,
games that
dude.
Matter.
Whatever.
That matter.
I don't know if Cal played in a single game that mattered.
But watching him, I'm like, there's something here with this guy. Because I think he was a 4- or 5-star recruit. It was a big win for Cal.
Huge.
To get him to commit and stay committed.
Well, then Tosh Lapoy, when he took the Cal job, first thing he did was hopped on a plane to go visit him. Don't transfer.
You better. Because there's something there with him. So I think this is a sneaky call. Maybe not a household name just yet. But the dude can cook. So I like this call.
And for my final pick, only because I don't know who's going to start for Alabama because they actually have both contenders in there. That's kind of confusing me. I'll go with John Mateer from Oklahoma. Okay. But I was highly considering the Alabama guys.
Okay.
I cannot stand the way John Mateer plays.
What is it? What?
I think he's so reckless. Okay. He's reckless.
Go big
he's reckless
go home.
Running. He's reckless throwing.
Yeah.
I also just don't like his arm, but that's neither here nor there. He's fun to watch.
Damon Williams, I don't think Washington is going to be good enough. Dual threat guy I thought about. I think we kind of have the board covered as far as guys that have a chance to have either eye-popping stats or attached to teams that are going to be really, really good this year. I don't think we're leaving. How do we feel about Gunnar Stockton?
So like, I thought about it. If they're great, it feels like the story is going to be something else. Like, he just doesn't feel like the...
He's the aircraft
engine.
Carrier. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. That's fair.
But he'll probably be in the mix because I think they're going to be...
Yeah.
Georgia's going to be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Coleman.
For Texas, wide receiver down there. Transferred in from Auburn.
Yeah. Rocco Beck, is that one who's sneaky? Because Penn State, they'll win a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. I just watching Iowa State over the last couple years, JP, are the numbers going to be eye-popping enough? Like, is he going to have enough of those games where he goes for 320 and 4? And so, like, I don't – didn't feel to me like that's where that offense is going to be this year.
I don't know if it's going to be there either, but Fernando didn't have a ton of those games last year.
True that. He just had some critical moments that stuck with a lot of people, right? Oregon, yeah. Penn State, and all the way down the line to a national championship. Coming up in 2 minutes – a guy that knows a little bit about Natty's and Tyvis Powell will join us to talk Browns, Buckeyes, and a lot more with Rothman and Ice. Don't move right here.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Dick's.com.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Now you can watch Rothman and Ice.
Go to YouTube and search 97.1 The Fan.
Rothman is wearing the pancake makeup, so you might as well watch. Back to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the building today for AR. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on the People's Champ, one half
of T-Bone and Tyvus, the one and only Tyvus Powell. T, good afternoon. How we feeling, my man?
You know, doing well. Just got done, got back from the gym, got my swole on, little upper body workout, a little shoulder workout, you know, trying to get them Dwight Howard-looking shoulders for the summer.
Walk us through the workout. Tell us what you did.
I did incline bench. I started off with a little incline. Well, first of all, I started off with TRX, you know, Y's and T's and I's. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
You got to reach. You got to retract the shoulders before you do it. You know, you got to get these reps right. Started off with a little bit of that. Then moved over to the incline. Did some pull-ups. Supersetted it with some pull-ups. After that, did some dumbbell benching with some rows. Did some some chest flies with some shoulder raises, and then I finished it with some abs.
Okay, let's stay here. If I could promise you one thing in the next month, right when summer gets going, that you would have the Rock's arms and biceps right now, or the most chiseled up six pack you could find, which one would you choose for the summer?
The chiseled up six pack.
Okay. Because you would probably do the show here in the morning without a shirt on at that
definitely
point, knowing you.
The chiseled up six pack,
okay,
all day long. That's the only thing I hate about my body right now. You know, I was talking to the lieutenant, and I was like, you know, I'm looking at myself, and it's not like it's a lot of fat there. She was like, well, I will tell you this. Your arms have gotten a lot bigger from when I first met you. And she said, your thighs and your butt has gotten bigger. I was like, but yeah, but like, I want the six pack. That's what this is all about. The six pack. I want that back. And she's like, well, you know, I kind of like me a more husky type of guy. And I said, okay. Well, that's too bad.
Husky.
that's too bad because that's not who I am. But I think, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back to 225. I just don't think that it's in my DNA anymore.
So the good thing about me, which I'm above this weight, but I can, the abs will show for me at 260 pounds still.
Really?
Yes.
That's must be nice.
Oh, now I got a little bit of a ways to get there, but I'm trying to get back there. I want to ask one more question before we get to more serious topics, but were the pull-ups band assisted or were they unassisted, and how many did you do per set?
Unassisted, I did six per set. I used to do 10, but yep. I'm just not getting back to that, so I'm doing six. I did three sets of six.
Okay, there with you.
Okay, keep putting in work.
But this is neutral grip. I can't do wide grip because I don't want to pop my shoulder.
That sounds like an excuse.
I don't want to do wide. I'm scared to do wide grip.
Why you have fear?
People be doing, because I've seen people like, you know, rip their biceps and pecs and stuff. I'm not trying to do that. I'm going to just stick to neutral grip.
I think it's the steroid people doing that. It's not a typical injury if you're just recreationally lifting. I'm just saying.
Tyvus, before we brought you on, we did a Heisman winner draft. We all selected five guys from the upcoming season that we believe have a chance to obviously win the Heisman. I want to start here, though, on Ohio State side of things. You can only watch one game this year in this hypothetical world. So I'm telling you, you only get to watch one game for Ohio State in the regular season. You can jump back in the playoff and all that stuff, but which regular season game would you want to watch most this year?
That's a good one.
So here's the thing. Like, let me run these by you. So you got at Texas.
Wait a minute. It come down to three. Texas, Oregon, and the game. That's it. The rest of them is irrelevant to me.
What about at Indiana?
That's irrelevant. I'm not 100% sure Indiana going to be Indiana. I know they did their thing in the portal and all that, but like his core guys is gone. Like the people that he brought with him from James Madison, those guys is gone. So it's going to be interesting this year. Oregon, Texas, and the game is the only three that I'm thinking about off the top of my head. That's going to be good. I guess Texas probably got the most NFL talent.
Ooh, right? So you would burn that ticket with the second game of the year. So you wouldn't be able to watch Ohio State at all until December. So September 12th. Okay. So at Texas. Yeah.
He could listen to Keels, though.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. There's a loophole.
All right.
Keels got my back.
He does, and we got his back. Let me ask you about this, because we were just talking about lifting, but can you give everybody paint a picture of what the summer off-season program is like with Mickey Marotti?
Okay, so in the summertime is usually when we do a lot of running. So Mondays is you got your regular lift, you know, your little upper body lift. Usually we start with shoulders. We go Monday is upper, Tuesday's lower, Thursday's upper, Friday's lower. That's how they do it. So on Monday, you do your upper body lift, and depending on the time group you're in, you really want to be in that last time group mm-hmm. because you got to come back to do skills and drills versus opponents. So he do position groups, receivers versus DBs, linebackers versus running backs, tight ends versus linebackers, stuff like that, right? So if you in that last group, you ain't got to leave and come back. You just do it. So that's Monday. You do that, right? I think it's Wednesday. We're not doing mat drills because that's the winter. So that means we got – what day? Stadium run is one of them days.
Ooh, I think Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or was it Thursday?
We had 14 half-gassers, 12. But they probably got more now. They probably got 16 now.
All those damn games.
We was doing one for each week, plus including the championship and playoffs. So they probably had 16. So you got 16 half-gassers. Team workout. You're going to start the first week with a time, and every week you got to have a faster time than that. If Cardale Jones is out there, you can kiss it goodbye because he is going to sandbag the whole thing because he's terrible as a conditioning guy. So no matter how much you cheer and motivate him, he is not going to run no faster. So you got to be ready to just run as fast as you possibly can to pick up for him. So you got that. And then on Friday, I want to say we did skills and drills again, plus the workout.
Do you really believe that we exceeded our time on a week-to-week basis? Because part of me thinks that it was a motivational tactic. but we didn't have a real idea.
Did we exceed our time? Is that a rhetorical question?
No, I think sometimes they do things to make you mentally believe things so you can believe it when it happens during the season. On a week-to-week basis, I'm not exactly sure week two was always better than week one.
What do you mean?
I think by the end of the summer, it was better.
Josh, they literally had the time.
Did you watch it the whole time?
No, I didn't watch it.
Exactly.
How could you?
Exactly. That's my point.
Josh, Mick wouldn't do us like that. I think they was pretty fair
Mick and Urban were the masters of the motivation and the dark arts.
The best thing, I'm going to tell you what the best thing about summer workout is when you get out there and you believe that you got one of the hardest workouts coming and he goes, we're going to Zoom BZ Bay. When I tell you, it's like you hit the lotto.
Oh, that's hilarious. So let me ask both you guys this. Was there a guy that you played with here that was just a workout warrior? That was just
John Simon.
Okay. So talk about that. Like, what did that look like? Cause you laid out how some of this stuff is really hard and some guys are struggling.
I'll give you a good example. So back when John Simon was here, we was broken up into teams. The whole team was split up. So it was like 105 guys split up into like six teams, right? Cause they wanted to, you know, do competition. So remember I told you we got skills and drills and things like that. Well, at the end of certain workouts back then, they would tally up. So there's one particular situation. We had a push-up finisher. You had to do as many push-ups as you possibly can, and they would tally up the entire team's push-ups, add them together, and whoever did the most wins the competition. So we were last. I don't remember if I was with John Simon or I was going against John Simon's team. Make a long story short, John Simon got to the end. He was the last person, and he asked Coach Mick, how many push-ups do I need to win this thing? They told him some crazy number, like it was like 150 or something like that. Do you know John Simon did a he got in push-up position, a wide push-up position stance, and knocked out 150 to win that thing?
Come on.
I give you another example. So skills and drills. We on the field doing the drills. John Simon, I believe, is going up against Zach Bourne, if I remember correctly. And he's down. He's losing by like five. He made everybody else stop doing the drill, and him and Zach just kept going back and forth. Zach is over there about to pass out, but he was so dedicated to winning He kept making Zach go, and he came back and won. The dude was out of his mind. If you go to that Woody today at 6 a.m., he will be in there. That man is crazy.
He was one of a kind.
That's incredible.
One of a kind. That was Urban's first year, and I feel like he was looking for his Tebow, and he found his Tebow.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
Okay, the tone setter. Okay, T, we appreciate you. Oh, real quick, before we let you go, how are you feeling about the Cavs? Eastern Conference Finals have arrived. How are you feeling?
Knicks, bricks, chicks, Cavs, and six.
I mean, how can we not end on that note? We appreciate you as always, man. Keep doing a great job in the morning with Tebow. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll see y'all later. Go Bucks, go Cavs, go Guards. Free Class A till it's backwards. And go Jackets. There we go.
There he
is. Forget the Browns right now.
There he is. The great Tyvus Powell joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Coming up next, we got a Buckeye Bulletin right around the corner. Some clarity when it comes to John Mobley Jr. and his future here in Columbus or elsewhere. We'll tell you next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
Didn't the Seahawks release you twice?
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad.
Newman.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
It's reserved.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, JP, Joshua Perry rocking out with us today. Appreciate him. Appreciate you guys as always. There was a little bit of, not uncertainty, but I guess some gray area where this thing was headed with John Mobley Jr., right? Because as you know, JP, the process, you can get some information back from the NBA, get a feel of where you are in all of this. Do they think that your game is ready, and do they think that you're ready to make the leap and all that, which I have no problem with the guys doing that. Like, that's what this is about, is gather the information with the opportunity for you to come back if the information you get back isn't what you want. And so for John Mobley Jr., we found out last night that he is going to return for his third year here at Ohio State. I think this, obviously, this is a huge, huge get for Coach Diebler and his staff. But we've seen the growth over the first couple of years, JP, of how impactful this guy can be as an offensive weapon. And so now, going from year two to year three, it's just all about how much more can he handle on his plate.
Yes. And that is on the court.
Yep.
How much more are you going to give him as somebody who will need to be a leader in that locker room and out on the court? Like, certainly you're going to need that. I'm glad to see it, though. And you talk about building around something.
Yeah.
Like, I think that this is one of those steps where you can finally say, okay, our plan's coming into place. We know that we got this guy back. We depend on the offense. He's going to be one of our veteran guys. Mm-hmm. What do we do around this to make sure that we can be as competitive as possible?
That is a great point that you bring up, because last couple cycles of the transfer portal for the basketball program haven't been great. Been a couple guys that have brought some decent things to the court, but overall, that's where I think they can close the gap when you already have in-house pieces like Mobley Jr. ready to go.
No doubt. And my thing watching them last year, I said this a bunch of times, but I never felt like their starting five when healthy was a problem. Like, I didn't look at them and say that they can't compete with good basketball teams. My issue was that you're asking those guys to play 38 or sometimes 40 minutes, mm-hmm. and when dudes are coming off the bench, they're giving you 0 points and one rebound. Right. That, to me, is an issue. And I think even without having the biggest NIL budget in the world, you can address having depth that can actually be competent when you need them.
And so my hope is, now that you understand what your core is and the guys that are going to be your top line guys, like, can you build some of that depth to where they can be dependable during the season?
Yeah, the depth is obviously going to be big. And I also think, too, going along with that, if they have anything, and I think they do, they find anything from Anthony Thompson in year one, Donald's All-American, feels all like of that stuff. To. Like,
yeah.
I like that he's coming into a situation to where the weight of the world isn't on his shoulders either.
Right.
I love that when you have elite prospects or young guys or whatever it may be coming in to a new system that don't have to have everything on them. And so I think he can pick and choose his spots. And I think that'll be a good role for him in year one. And if it's more than that, then that's house money, found money in the couch right there. You guys, you and Tyvus, took us down a great road of some stories, but you asked him about Coach Marotti.
Yeah.
That's a name that we've been hearing about around these parts for years now, and just how important he is. We as fans and people that do my job and all that, the Body by Marotti program, we've heard all about it. But you've been through that. You know how important he is to the program and important to your guys' daily routine. So talk about that from your perspective.
Yeah, Mickey Marotti was one of the most important people in my athletic journey. I'd say that being fully serious. We see the photos of guys' bodies changing, mm-hmm. right? Like, we see them when they hit spring ball and it's like, oh, this guy looked like he put on 15 pounds. All that's great. I asked Tyvus a question about, like, do you think he ever fudged the numbers over the course of the summer? And I say that because he's a guy who mentally makes you believe that you can consistently punch above your weight. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing that he brings. He used to have us do, for our conditioning test, we would do 300-yard shuttles, but we would go sideline to sideline while we were training, right? And so that's 50 yards six times. And then for our test, we would go 60 yards five times. There's one less turn, so everybody's time is, like, super fast, and you're feeling great about yourself.
Yeah.
And the moment you're not thinking about how you did, that was the kind of stuff that he would do to make sure, like, you hit training camp feeling like you can conquer the world, because I'm a full 2 seconds faster than what I trained all summer. Like, all the work paid off. Yes, there was a ton of work that went in there. Like, no doubt about that. But he made you feel like the work that you did, you could conquer anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing that Mickey Marotti brings, is the mentality that guys can go out there and they can dominate.
And that's great stuff. I can't remember who the player was, but he was telling a story about when he saw his coach, or for whatever reason, he wasn't a coffee drinker, but when he saw him drinking coffee, he was in a bad mood that day. And usually that was one of the rougher practices for Urban. Was there something where you could read his body language or something that he did to where you knew we were in for it?
What was the special teams meeting like that day? Because Urban ran the special teams.
Yeah.
That was his baby.
Okay, yeah.
So he would have the other assistant coaches. They would get up and they would do presentations. He went through punt every single day. So if he felt like the punt team the day before was sloppy, you would know immediately, because that was the first special team we would go over, and that would set the tone for the rest of the day.
We're in for it.
Yes.
Or
let's not mess this up, because the guy's in a great mood. We had a great day on punt. Rest of the practice could have been terrible. Terrible. Yeah. But we had a great day on punt. He's good.
Did you like feeling a little bit of that angst as a player, a little bit of that being on edge with a coach like that?
Not early on.
Okay.
Not early on. It messed with my brain.
Right.
But the longer I was around, it was good, because it gave me license as I became a leader to really jump on guys when necessary.
Real quick, how did it mess with your brain? And what ways?
I wasn't used to having to be, everything was, you know, fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. I wasn't used to that level of urgency all the time.
All day long.
Yeah.
All day long. Okay. There you go. There's your Buckeye Bulletin for today. Coming up, top of the hour, after an update, how interested would Deshaun Watson be in returning to Cleveland if things go well for him? ESPN thinks they know. We'll tell you next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Hey, everybody, it's Bert.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Benefits.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The Cleveland Cavaliers are in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2018. They get underway tonight in New York at Madison Square Garden as they take on the Knicks at 8. The NFL announced earlier today that Minnesota will host the 2028 NFL Draft, and by a unanimous vote, Nashville has been awarded the 2030 Super Bowl. The Cleveland Guardians in Detroit facing the Tigers at 6:40 tonight. Parker Messick versus Keeter Montero, the pitching matchup in that one. The Cincinnati Reds on the road against the Philadelphia Phillies. Fireballer Chase Burns makes the start for Cincy opposite Jesus Luzardo. You can hear that over on the Fan 2 starting at 6:10 with a first pitch at 6:40. The Buckeye baseball team starting the Big Ten tournament tonight in Omaha against Washington. The Buckeyes are the sixth seed in the tournament. You can listen to it tonight right here on the Fan beginning at 9:55.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and I feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Hour number three, welcome back in. Matty Ice, the former Buckeye, Olin Tangi's own Joshua Perry in the building today. TLC doing his thing per usual on the board. JP, where are you at right now with trilogies of movies? Are you a fan or not of trilogies of movies? Do you think that we have too many trilogies when it comes to movies?
Love Back to the Future.
Okay.
I'd watch all three of those.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I'm not sure I've watched a bunch of trilogies.
Me either.
Does the Equalizer have a third one?
That's a good question.
Because I like both of the Equalizer 2.
Correct. Denzel's amazing in both of those.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've watched a whole bunch of trilogies that I'm like, yeah, you know, that's really, really good. I honestly don't know.
The third one. No, you didn't.
I honestly don't know if I've watched a whole bunch of movie series that have gone too deep.
Yeah.
That I'm saying the second one is tremendous either.
Unnecessary. I watched the Michael Jackson biopic a couple weeks ago. That one deserves a sequel because it cuts off in like 1987.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot that happened after that.
The only reason why I'm bringing this up is because I tried to watch Coming to America 2 and I was like, they could have just saved this. They could have saved it. Like, I thought it was cool that all that was shot at Rick Ross's house in Atlanta. Like, yeah, all that, but like the movie itself was just like the original is all we needed.
It's where we're at right now, though. I feel like everybody's trying to reboot the thing that we all loved from 20, 30, 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is nobody really asked for
it. Correct.
Not now, at least.
So I got through about 30 minutes of that the other day, and I was just like, I thought about this, like, why did they do this? I've been chipping away at a lot of the untold documentaries on Netflix, by the way, and then I watched the Lamar Odom.
See, I've been waiting to watch that one with my wife, but we haven't gotten a time.
I don't want to spoil too. Everybody kind of knows at this point what he was getting into.
Yeah,
the things he liked to dabble into. I didn't know though that the day that he had the seizures and all of that at that brothel in Vegas, that wasn't an OD on cocaine.
Was on crack?
It wasn't that, Stephen. I don't know if you knew that or remember that. I'm not going to say it wasn't. That wasn't the cause of the overdose. So when you watch that and find out what was and how much of it that he was taking, blew my mind.
Was he taking
that?
Blew my mind.
Yeah. That crack is whack quote is from one of my favorite interviews of all time.
And a lot of lying involved in that.
Yes.
Was Bobby on the couch with her?
I think for a portion of it.
Okay.
Crack is cheap. I make too much money to ever smoke crack.
Crack is whack.
So it was amazing. It was great.
Unbelievable. Her and Bobby, listen.
Oh, they had a reality show.
They did. That's what I was going to say.
And you can't find it anywhere. It was on Bravo. It does not stream anywhere. It's not on Peacock. I have been looking. The only ones you can watch are on YouTube.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting because Peacock has everything Bravo's ever done.
I know.
And they don't have that.
No.
Crack is whack.
Crack is whack. I make too much money to ever smoke crack is one of the wildest lines you will hear out of an interview.
Straight lie.
I don't think I heard that one. I think I specifically clipped that one off and then never made it.
Oh, brother, you should take the time. Well worth it.
Can you play it again for me?
Crack is whack.
Oh, hey, listen, she left us some timeless music, though.
Yeah, she did.
That's the thing.
Gone too soon.
Gone way too soon.
Yeah, buddy.
Way too soon. You talk about two powers coming together that were not good for each other
at all.
That was
Bobby's still doing them weak ass residencies. Can't even dance. Just won't.
Hey, good for him,
into
though,
the mic.
That to me is, I think, when you know you've really made it.
Yeah, I guess
is when the residency happens.
He's just standing up there going through the motions. Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't. You got to show
me. Oh my goodness! Just gut hanging all over the belt line. Just going through the motions. Can't do the moves anymore.
So he's stealing money, is what you're saying? Stealing money. But do you agree with me though?
Yes.
That's when you know you've made it as an artist, and when it's, I don't come to you, you come to me.
You're going
to
show up here. I'm going to do a bunch of nights. Some of them will be good. Some of them will not be. And I will still take your money. Absolutely.
My friends, we like to get into a little bit of the debate with their girlfriends and their wives about the Usher concert situation.
Oh.
And would you allow your wife or girlfriend to go to the Usher concert?
This is hilarious.
For folks that have no idea what I'm talking about, Usher at one point in time throughout his concert will walk around the crowd.
Uh-huh.
With a bowl of cherries.
With cherries.
I believe that he will then.
He'll dangle them in front of a woman's face.
Correct.
And then whatever happens after that
is up to them.
Yes.
How much energy they want to put forth to consume said cherry.
And it's usually too much energy.
Is up to them. So we always get in that, would you allow your girl to go to a Chris Brown concert?
Well, you know they're doing
Usher
it together.
Concert. They are, and they're coming here. I believe they're coming to Cleveland.
My wife was like, oh man, I would love to go with this. I got a couple of friends who are going.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I would love
a lot of things
that I can't do. Okay. So let's just put that one on the list.
So your team, I'm not going to be the happiest husband when that day comes around.
You go with her and he's not doing anything.
It's not about her.
Keep it moving.
It's about everybody else that's in there. They in there for one reason. They're trying to get shows. They want to be backstage.
Correct.
I don't need that around anybody that I care about.
And the thing that I've seen with Chris Brown, at least, is that he will bring your girlfriend, wife, whoever it may be, on the stage. And there's a little bit of like the whole dancing thing going on. She's in the chair. The lights go out. Like it'll put your girl to the test.
We just had this conversation on a Fan Sports Sunday a couple weeks ago. Me and Dylan and Isaiah and I, we were talking about Reimer, and the concept of joint bachelorette parties came up. And we were talking about how Reimer had one and what was Isaiah going to do? Because now Isaiah's engaged and he's trying to figure out what his plans are. And so I was asking like the guys, I'm like, first of all, when you hear joint bachelorette trip, are you assuming that it was the girl's idea?
Of course.
And is she worried about you or is she worried about your friends?
Well, here's a good one.
Mm.
So friend of mine, bachelor party down in Nashville, like literally the next week, his fiance's bachelorette party was going to be down in Nashville. They had Airbnbs that they had rented a week apart on different sides of the same street. He's down there doing dirt. And it gets put on the Nashville Snapchat story that it's like 2 a.m. and he's with this girl. He's got a cowboy hat on. He puts a hat on the girl, the whole deal.
Oh no!
So his fiance is like going crazy. This was the night before I got there. My wife was like, you and your friends are trash, blah, blah, blah. I had no idea what she was talking about at the time. And so she's like, we're going to drive down there and we're going to get you guys crazy. So the next week she goes in the whole weekend. He's like, oh, I know she's doing something bad. I know she's doing something bad because he went to do dirt.
It was that guilt.
It was the guilt.
It was the guilt.
So I think the whole thing is about boundary setting.
So your wife's going off on you, and you're like, I wasn't even here.
I'm like, you guys are watching a thing that happened like 24 hours ago before I even got here, and she's still mad at me. She's like, well, that's your friend. I'm like, the only reason that's my friend is because you're best friends with his fiance. I didn't know the guy until I met him through your friend.
Mm-hmm. Who saw that on the Nashville public Snapchat? Like, who's looking that up?
They had problems. They should have never walked down the aisle.
Are they still together?
No.
Well, there you go.
They had issues from the jump.
And I don't ever underestimate a woman's ability via social media to find whatever they need.
The sleuthing is crazy.
So they are elite when it comes to that. But joint bachelorette parties, I'm not a fan. Me personally.
I didn't have a bachelor party.
Really?
Didn't want one? Well, we got engaged and then COVID hit. We went to the courthouse, just said we'll do it all right now, save a little bit of money. That's what we did.
Probably a lot of bit of money.
Yeah, we did.
Did you do like an after the fact, like 1 year later, once it's not COVID sort of reception?
No.
Really? So no. There was no party?
There was no pomp and circumstance. People get married every day.
No pressure from the fam. Like, hey, you guys don't want to, none of that.
They were like, you guys are responsible.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great call.
I guess.
Yeah,
I'm kind of surprised because, like, I mean, I've met your wife a couple times, so I don't know her that well. But
okay,
women want the moment.
Right. What I did was I walked her through this house that I really liked. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be nice to live here? And she was like, yeah, it would be. Smart. And I was like, we could do that if we save the money instead of doing a wedding and bachelorette parties and a honeymoon. If we save the money, we could buy this house like right now. And that's what we did. And then 8 months later, I got a call from my agent and was like, hey, you have an opportunity to do a show in Chicago. And we sold the house after living in it for like 8 months.
Because you were up in Chicago for how long doing the rally on Bally?
We're close to 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's how, and you guys were in like a penthouse. Little condo, a little high rise.
Don't do that.
We had a
humble one bedroom in the city. You know, we were just trying to get by.
You guys had a cool studio. Go ahead, TLC.
It's like, come on, you're on gas station TV. You're making something.
Here you go.
He was living.
I'm at a gas station in Terre Haute, Indiana. I think I know who that is.
Exactly. Because you were everywhere.
Gas station TV was the most notable thing I've done in my career. More people saw that than anything else I've ever done.
It was funny because I'd be at a pump and they'd throw up some commercial for whatever food they were selling. Then I would hear you like three pumps away.
Yeah, you're like, man, there's my NFL Hour co-host.
All those Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. Man,
throwback. Oh, blast from the past.
For the folks that don't know what TLC's mentioning, this was, man, how long ago was that? 8 years ago? Like, had to be. Pre-pandemic for sure.
Yeah, this was probably, I remember there was a topic in there where Michigan had canceled their spring trip that they would take for the student athletes because of this coronavirus thing. And I was like, man, I never even heard of coronavirus. It can't be that bad. And then
it took over the world.
Yeah, so this
took
was
over the world.
But right before the pandemic.
Tuesdays at 8 o'clock at night, you, me, and our old producer, CB, we do it obviously an hour on the NFL. And that's all it was, just in the NFL hour. And I'll never forget, we got moved out of the main studio. I don't know what they were doing one night, but we went in that side studio. And that night is when the Odell Beckham Jr. news to Cleveland broke.
Yep.
And I'll never, because that was just so much energy that night, because it came out of nowhere. So good times, man.
Good times
over at the old studio doing the NFL hour. Probably TLC when there were five people listening at 8 o'clock at night. But
right before the 11 Warriors hour.
Exactly.
I used to do that show too.
We had a good time. Hey, coming back in pre-snap reads, we will get to the latest story coming out of Cleveland when it comes to Deshaun Watson, whether or not he would be interested in coming back after this season if things go well. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Crack is whack.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Care Heating and...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Org.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A mostly sunny day for us today. Hot and breezy with highs getting up around 90 degrees. We're going to have a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, especially going into the evening and overnight, some which could be on the stronger side. Overnight, temperatures will get down into the 60s. And then for Wednesday, we could still see some showers and storms linger in the morning, with daytime highs only getting into the 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, so we got some. It's always cool for me when we get any type of NFL activity, right? Like, don't ever want to get carried away, especially this time of year where we've got OTAs and all that stuff going on. But I don't know how you feel, JP. You probably have a different view on this, since you were actually out there doing all the work and the grinding and the conditioning and all that at this time. But for me, especially with some of the young guys, just to see what they're saying and how they're feeling. But any football, I'll take that all day and tomorrow. And so we got the Browns, the Bengals, some other teams doing some off-season activities that have started today around the sport. And ESPN.com put out an article about Deshaun Watson and why the Browns are giving Deshaun another chance to be the QB1. And so baked into this article is this quote. The source close to Watson said the quarterback is focused solely on the upcoming season, but believes he isn't against staying in Cleveland beyond 2026 if things go well. Quote, I think he would be open to that. Before you give your take on that quote and where you think this could be headed this year, LeSean McCoy, former running back in the NFL for the Eagles. I think he was a, did he get a ring with Kansas City at the end? I'm making that up. Was he on that?
I don't know.
I want to say TLC, he got one of those rings at the end.
What,
where
the
he,
Bucks?
Was it the Bucks or Kansas City?
Dude, I kind of think he, well, I mean, he played for Kansas City too.
Yeah.
I kind of think he was on Tampa with Leonard Fournette. Okay. I kind of think Le'Veon Bell was the running back for the Chiefs.
Can you check that?
He's got two rings.
Did he get both Tampa and Kansas City?
No, because he wouldn't have been on the Eagles team in 17.
Yeah, so he got,
maybe it's what you alluded to. Maybe it's Tampa and Kansas City?
I think it was Kansas City both times.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, but either way.
Robert Orr.
Or maybe it was both.
So he got both?
Yeah, he got one with Kansas City, one with Tampa.
Okay, so one with both. Okay, yeah. So one with both there. But spent a lot of time in Philly when he was great in his heyday with Andy Reid and all that. But he's in the sports media world, and a lot of these guys, former players, talk to a lot of people, and I'm sure feel confident in the people that they're talking to. Here's LeSean McCoy on what he's been hearing about the quarterback situation in Cleveland so far.
You know, I got a lot of sources and connections over there. You do. Players, you know what I'm saying? They say Deshaun Watson good over there.
Ooh. I didn't believe it, though. I'm like, man, he been so goddamn bad. But they say, bro, he rolling right now. Mm. You know, I think with the new offense, right, new coach over there, things looking different for him. I want a Shador to play because he's younger. He's fresher. Let's see what he has to offer.
Yeah.
We seen what Deshaun looked like when he left the Texans. But they say he looking good. They say this year he will look a lot better.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but they saying, and he's going to start. And if everybody in the chat, y'all want to bet, make some money, I told y'all first.
What's your reaction to hearing him frame it that way?
I don't know if it's the most surprising thing. Like, we haven't seen it in a very long time, but there was once upon a time where everybody's like, oh, man, it's a top five quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So the idea that he could be rolling and certainly could look better than the rest of that quarterback room isn't shocking to me. This is a conundrum that you get into. Is, number one, how well does he have to play for Cleveland fans to want him back? And the other side of that is,
how well does he have to play to where Cleveland can't not have him back? Right? Because I think those are two different things. Right? Like, you, I think as a fan, you want to see him look like pretty damn good, because he hasn't for a while and you feel bad about the contract. If you're going to give him a new one, you want to feel great about it. I think if you're the Browns as an organization, he doesn't have to play nearly as well as fans would necessarily want him to say, well, we gotta have this guy back.
I completely agree with you. And I think, excuse me, from the front office's side of things, it feels to me that they're checking the temperature of not only the fan base, but the NFL landscape as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this decision right now in the court of public opinion, if you will.
Yep.
If and when they do make that call. And so, to me, JP, it feels like that's where this is headed. I'm still giving Shador a chance to obviously close the gap, I guess. I don't even know if that's the right way to frame this right now, because I don't even know how much of a gap there is between the two, if there's a gap at all. But when it comes to Deshaun in the future, and going back to ESPN's comments that they have of talking to a source and that he would be on board if things go well this year with coming back, what money are we talking about?
Well, that's a big question.
And how much money would he want? Only he knows that, and he would have to do his part to even have this become a relevant conversation.
No doubt.
But if JP, if he leads them, let's say, to 8 wins.
That was going to be my question, because I think they're probably more in the 5 or 6 range.
That's where I'm at as well. If he exceeds our expectation, and he gets to, like I said, 8 wins, and let's say, because there's different ways you can get there, obviously, defense can drive some of those games,
right.
But let's talk about his individual productivity.
Yeah, he has, some 2-minute drills at the end of the game, yeah. Like, you know, really turns it on.
Let's say it's top 12 to 15-ish. That's probably, because that's a no-brainer. Let's say it's top 15 to 20-ish productivity for Deshaun. Would you re-sign him?
If I'm Cleveland?
Yes.
There's, I think the deal would have to make sense, but yes, probably. And part of the calculus there is you're assuming, and this is a deep quarterback class. I've also heard that the last like 2-3 years, and it didn't end up being that same way.
Uh-huh.
So now you're also looking at, where are we drafting, and can we actually get our guy?
Yes.
So that plays into it. I think from an organization standpoint, they're probably like, yeah, I think we might be able to run this back. If you're a fan, you're like, oh, he's like fringe top 20 guy, and like 8 games is not a lot. Like, I know we're Cleveland, but damn.
And would you rather the team invest in that?
Right.
Or try to find the guy in the draft next year?
Right.
Because that's the other thing. I was thinking about this the other day, JP. It's because a lot of the times that my brain goes there automatically too. Is that, oh, you get the young guy in the draft, and he's got promise, that automatically equals success in the NFL.
Yeah, right.
That's not the case.
No.
Because I had to remind myself of, because the reason why this popped up in my brain is because I was watching stuff about Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, like those years in Detroit, more than serviceable quarterback.
Yes.
Talent was through the roof. One of the best arm talents of his era, maybe in the entire league's history. And Detroit struggled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a window right now to where Joe Burrow is no doubt a top 5 quarterback in the sport. They haven't been in the postseason in 3 years.
Right.
So it's not the end-all, be-all in a positive way. But I don't know how you feel, but whether I'm taking a quarterback at 1 or if I'm taking a quarterback at the bottom of the 3rd round, 5th round, whatever it is, well, let's just stick with the 1st round. If I get a guy in the 1st round, JP, 1 or at the bottom of round number 1, if that guy, to me, turns into a guy that I feel as a fan can give us a chance to win, a realistic chance to win week in and week out, that to me is a good pick. I don't know if you feel the same way. Like Fernando Mendoza, if he turns into the guy that I just described week in and week out for the Raiders, that you know that maybe this guy doesn't have the highest ceiling in the sport, but he also doesn't have the lowest floor in the sport, and we got a chance to be competitive, to me, I think that's a good pick.
I think if you're 1-1, regardless of position, like at some point we got to be talking about all pro conversations.
So you need to have a couple of those years baked into your career.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that.
Not the duration of the career. Like those guys are, you know, an anomaly, but yeah. I need you to be in the conversation as one of the best at your position at some point. Now, if we're talking about 15 and later, in the NFL draft in the first round, specifically with quarterbacks, mm-hmm. that's where I'm like, I need you to be a guy who can go out there and first off, give us longevity, but give us a lot of wins during your tenure. But if we're talking about the very tip top, and people, this is just, it's a quarterback thing where I feel like you can draft a guy at number one and not expect him to come in and be an all pro. Whereas, like, if you took an edge or a tackle at number one, you're expecting that guy to be dominant.
Correct. See, here's the only pushback that I have, because I think your bars are fair. But I also think if I'm drafted 1-1, and let's say right now I happen to hop into the AFC,
mm-hmm.
there's only so many awards that I can grab.
That's why I didn't say every year.
With Mahomes.
But those guys are getting older.
Because I was going back and looking at some Drew Brees stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going down some weird rabbit holes recently. But I was like, wow, Drew Brees never won an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, never in his career. And it was the Brady window,
right.
the Manning window,
right.
those guys that were in that 08 to 12, where he was cooking.
At some point, he was in the conversation
for one of the best.
One of the best.
There's no right. That's what I agree with you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I need.
Okay. I'm not. I think that's fair that once, twice, maybe three times in your career, you pop up as a dude, whether it's second team all pro, first team all pro.
Right.
You have those. But I just think because there's so many teams that we've been talking about that have been searching high and low for years to just get anybody that gives them a chance, I've kind of changed my thinking on the value of return on a draft pick.
I know, but that I feel like our thinking has only changed when it comes to a quarterback, when it comes to that.
Hmm.
And that's a problem that people are just so thirsty to have a quarterback.
So you're saying if David Bailey for the Jets,
so you got it.
If he doesn't have in his career, let's say two all pro seasons, that's not good value of that pick. Is that how you would view it?
I would say yes. If I'm looking at that guy at number two overall, mm-hmm. and I get it. Like there's a certain point where maybe a draft class is bad and like you just got to take guys to take guys. But to me, like, You're the second pick in the draft. Like
you need something special.
You need something special.
Okay. Speaking of different, we talked about Wimby earlier in the show. He's the definition of different right now in the NBA. For us, JP, who are some of the top attractions in the world of sports at the moment? Meaning we know they're in a 3 to 5 hour window of Ohio, a drivable night to go to a game and maybe come back if you want to. Who would you spend money on to go see? We'll talk about some of those guys next in 2 minutes. It's Rothman and Ice.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Vault reserved.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Maddie was a big Browns fan.
Scratch that, we mean he's a big fan of the former Browns.
The Baltimore Ravens. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, JP, Joshua Perry in the house for AR. Some interesting news right now just came out of Kansas City in the Chiefs headquarters, and this is coming from what I'm seeing is Matt Foster, who is a sports reporter out in Kansas City, and he's saying this: breaking, Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice violated his probation after testing positive for marijuana.
What was that sound?
What are you?
Can somebody, would you like to explain what that? I've never heard that before.
What is that,
sir? Can you explain that?
Yeah, it's what Rashee Rice was doing.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to see if I could break your focus, and I did.
And you did. No, man.
That's as good as it's going to get.
They just let a bunch of kids get on the radio today.
What a win for me.
Now, because of how immature I am, you know what I'm about to ask you to do. Is play it again.
Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice violated his probation after testing positive for marijuana. Rice has been ordered to serve 30 days in jail, meaning he will miss Chiefs OTAs and mandatory minicamp. And again, that's coming from Matt Foster, who is a sports reporter, it looks like, for KSHB41 out in Kansas City.
Does anybody have the Stephen A?
Oh, man.
That's, I mean,
oh, stay man. Off.
Yeah, it's, this is,
the I'm time sure somebody it. Has it in. No, it's not in here.
Oh, my they? Gosh.
Well,
stay off the weed.
I mean, wow. Well, I
that was good.
No one asked.
Appreciate
that
it.
Was good.
That was really good.
Oh, here, Ice will like this.
Where the weed at?
Rashee Rice knows. This man knows.
Oh, God.
You know what's interesting is that going into the draft, mm-hmm. there was some chatter about, hey, at 9, prior to Kenneth Walker, maybe they take a running back at 9, Jeremiah Love falls to them, that would be the dream. Then we find out K-9 signs with them, and they... The talk transitioned a little bit to, do they still need offensive playmaking help?
Right.
Coming out of the draft, especially in round one. They trade up with the Browns at 6. They draft Mansoor Delane out of LSU. But the reason why that conversation even popped up was because chatter out there was, JP, can they trust Rashee Rice? Because it's just been from the time he entered the league, so a lot of off-the-field stuff has popped up. Up.
Sure.
And so now here we are with the guy that is now going to miss the entire portion of the calendar that's going to include OTAs and mandatory minicamp. So I wonder if they're not going to regret the Mansoor Delane pick.
No, I don't think so.
But their process throughout the draft. And now I want to go see JP while you weigh in on the situation, what they did for the rest of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, here's the reality is, to me, now I'm like, okay, you got to go.
He's off the team?
Well, this type of decision, bro, you're on probation. Like, they give you a set of rules that you know you have to follow. And for whatever reason, either stupidity or sheer selfishness, you can't do that. And now you're not able to be a part of what we need you to be a part of for our team to be good.
Right.
You've been in trouble before. It's why you're on probation. Like, there comes a certain point where I'm of the belief that we're a nation of second chances. I get it. Some guys don't deserve to play because they keep doing dumb stuff like this.
What you're saying, I think, is rooted in logic and fair. But you know the game better than
exactly
we do.
I know exactly what the game is.
You know
is.
It better than
I
we do.
I know exactly what it is.
Guys that are as talented as he is.
You get chance after chance.
And especially, JP, when you have a coach who's got a proven track record of being okay with continuing to have guys on his roster that are like this, or bringing in guys,
no doubt,
too, that have some questionable stuff going on. They did not take a wide receiver, that being the Chiefs, until the 5th round.
Who'd they take?
Cyrus Allen from Cincinnati. 5th round pick there. Their first four picks this year were all on defense. So Mansoor Delane, LSU at 6, Peter Woods from Clemson at 29. Him. R. Mason Thomas.
Love him.
Pass rusher from Oklahoma. And then Jaden Kennedy from Oregon safety there. So that was their first four picks there. And then they went offense the rest of the way out with Emmitt Johnson, Cyrus Allen, and then Garrett Nussmeier quarterback.
They're in a tough spot.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot.
But for me, it's like I got to look at you every day and ask the question, how much can I trust you?
I think
that's... Like, if we go on a run this year, are you going to be in jail? While we're trying to make the run. Fair. This is a serious question.
Totally fair. Totally fair. And now my mind just went to, if I'm Andy Reid, Philadelphia, you're on line one.
Mm-hmm.
You're on line one. We know that AJ Brown's available.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of connective tissue there between Philadelphia and New England when it comes to this deal. But I think to your point, which is totally fair to think this way now, if you're Kansas City, is there a more reliable option out there for us and a guy that can come in and be just as productive.
Right.
I think receiver for receiver right now, I would take AJ Brown over Rashee Rice.
I probably would.
And we haven't had off the field stuff.
Right.
Maybe I'm forgetting something with AJ, but it's been a lot of the chirping on the sideline.
Yeah, how engaged is he going to be? How happy is he?
Reading the book and all that stuff. Yeah. But it's not, I mean, this.
Listen, if he is catching balls from Patrick Mahomes, I think he's going to be as engaged as you need him to be.
You know who else is really disappointed by this news? It's Justin Fields.
Mm.
Because Justin Fields may have an opportunity, depending on how the rehab is going with Mahomes, to to grab a hold of the steering wheel for the first few games and showcase what he is. And without Rasheed, if that's a scenario, right? Like, if we're talking about no Rasheed Rice down the road, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, like, how can I rehab my image without one of the better playmakers in the AFC?
Poor Justin, man.
I mean, this guy, he's in a situation, though, where I think he's always going to have a job now moving forward. Whatever said job is, starter or not,
I agree.
He's young enough, and I think the skill set is still intriguing enough to a certain degree.
Big arm and can run.
Correct. That those guys we see, like, you're going to be around
for sure
for a while. You're going to be around for a while. So there's the latest news there. Last couple minutes, JP, we were teasing the topic coming in this break, then the Rice news kind of took off for us. An attraction for you in the world of sports that you would pay your own hard-earned money to go see.
Give me Caitlin Clark, as a matter of fact. And the discourse online is really interesting when it comes to her. And I've got a lot of criticisms of her game.
Uh-huh.
The one thing that stands out to me through this shooting slump that she's kind of been in from three, she's one of the best passers of the basketball I've ever seen.
Okay.
Like, to the point where her teammates aren't even ready half the time for the ball to come their way because she just sees the court so well and then can actually get the basketball there, like, through traffic. And I just want to see that in person.
I was lucky enough to see that twice last year in person over in Indy. You got to get over that.
Yeah.
It's a real thing, man, where she just has complete control over the city, really, right now. But also that crowd in that building, like, it's electric. I'm going to go with a little bit of a wild card. We could do Ohtani all day. We can do Judge all day. Like, those are obvious, right? Like, we would all, I think, pay money to go see those guys. I'm going to go with an OG here, though, because I haven't seen it yet in person. The Steph Show. I want to see the Steph Show when he's on one. To your point about Caitlin, like, Steph, just the whole, and it's not even just the in-game action. It's the pre-game routine.
You gotta get there early.
Like, I'm getting there early, right, where he's shooting balls from the tunnel and all that stuff. Like, Steph for me, and then one that's completely, I think, going to be off the grid for a lot of people is this guy, Jacob Mizorowski, for the Milwaukee Brewers, who I think is the second coming of Randy Johnson from the right side.
Interesting.
So you look at Jacob Mizorowski, the dude's like 6'8", 6'9", somewhere in that window, throws about a .104. Like, I want to sit behind home plate and see what that looks like, like a freak show there. So I'll go Steph, Jacob Mizorowski for the Brewers, a couple, I think, off the beaten path. TLC, anybody for you that you're like...
Well, you ripped away Ohtani from me, and that was... Although I'm a little bit of a hypocrite on that one because I lived in St. Louis for 2 years. The Dodgers definitely came to town and I didn't go. So I guess even it would have been on the Angels at that point in time. But man, if you're taking that one, I don't know. I guess I haven't seen Paul Skeens yet.
Okay.
What I should do, especially now that we're kind of getting like really into the thick of baseball season, is pay attention to injury reports and who's on rehab assignments and like actual like real big leaguers having to play through AAA.
That's a good call because there's been a couple times where here I've been like, wait, that dude played in Columbus today?
Yeah.
Like for the Clippers on a rehab assignment.
Like Garrett Cole is playing AAA baseball right now.
Right.
Because he's rehabbing. He hasn't played in the majors this season at all from Tommy John.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if depending on the Clippers schedule, he may be coming to town.
Yeah. Next time Wimby comes to Columbus though. That is a, I'm sorry, Cleveland. That is a must. That'd be nice.
Like, when is it coming to Wimby? I'd love to
Cleveland,
know.
Cleveland. That, for me, JP, is I'm in the building. I don't care if I have to go there that night and come back the next day to do the show.
Let's go together.
Okay. I'm in. If I'm going with you, that means we're sitting on the floor. That's what that is.
Well,
I'm with JP next to Miles Garrett.
If you're paying.
On the wood, as they say.
Exactly. We'll hit the finish line of the show next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts.
Wasting time has never been easier.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Care Heating and...
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
.com.
The
Reds are on the Fans' family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds, the Fan, the Fan 2, and the Fan 3. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up and tell the truth today?
All right, I like some of these today. I've been sitting on this one for a while, specifically for this duo. I don't know why. I just thought that you guys would you'd have fun with it and at least get a laugh out of it.
Okay.
So I think we first brought up Paul Pierce's dating advice back. There was an episode of You and DeVere, just to relive what he initially said.
All you men, stand up men, hardworking and respectable, chest up, chin out men, you really on the grind and you really got ambition, leave these little pretty girls alone, bro. They don't put their elbow in it. I'm going to keep it 100. Over there looking at, oh, she bad. Oh, look at her Instagram. Oh, she a 9, she a 10. No, I'll get you a 5 or a 6 who going to put some elbow into it and going to be down for you on some 100. You know what I'm saying? They going to look at you like, why he with her? Don't worry about why I'm with her. Because she going to do everything you ain't doing. 100%. That's the new wave we should be on, fellas.
So that was the new wave that he started.
So is he saying, TLC, if we were coaches, we only need to be recruiting 3 stars.
That's right.
Not 5 stars.
Okay. 2 stars.
You get a little grit on your roster.
Yeah. That's right.
Wild. Okay.
So that was the wave that he was trying to start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, I guess a couple months ago, I don't know, it's been a while, but I've been sitting just waiting for this. He had some new advice. So he had an awakening after, you know, mixing it up with the 5s and the 6s. Of testing them to really see if they're really about him.
If you really want to know if a girl love you for real, go cheat on her and see how she react. Now we're going to see what's real. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Tell me. Tell me.
I'm going to tell you something. That's the worst advice you can give anyone.
So why don't you give me some advice of how do I find out if a girl loves
me? I just told you. You're going to be tested in different ways.
How do I find out? What's the test? Give me an example.
Women don't deserve to struggle just to have love.
Well, it go both ways. No, I'm saying that, but it go both ways for the man, for the woman. Let me, if you want to see if a man
go cheat on him.
Go cheat on him.
All right. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell the truth, or will you be signing up for any therapy sessions with Paul Pierce anytime soon?
I will need therapy from listening to that. Here's what I think. I think that take that you just played is rooted in a multimillionaire being able to get away with that stuff. And being, you know what I mean? Like that, I think that's what
Don't
that
try to
is.
Rationalize this.
No, I'm not, but that's the only way I can think or connect the dots for him is that he's been able to get away with that because he's been Paul Pierce. That doesn't work for me.
I just think that's a fool. A fool who's never been loved. Have some dignity, Matty. You can be Paul Pierce, too.
I don't want to be, but that's the only thing I can think of. Man.
A fool who's never been loved. That's what that is.
Okay. Okay.
Well, he was, but then he was on Instagram Live.
Yeah, I remember
that. And
then
a divorce came shortly after.
Yeah. Oh, that was the whole... adult entertainers,
the job. He had a poker game, and it wasn't just dudes there.
Adult entertainers were in the building.
Yeah.
He's getting his Rasheed Rice on.
Yeah, there's a little reefer in there, too.
Reefer.
Then he lost a marriage and a job very shortly after.
Wow. Reefer is such an old school way. It's like,
buddy.
The reason why I'm cracking up is because a couple weeks ago, AR mentioned, like, some story broke and somebody was involved with some weed stuff or whatever. And, like, he used the word pot, and I just started dying laughing.
Right?
I was like, that's an OG way to describe
it. So is Reefer.
Right. But yeah, Paul Pierce, to your point, yeah, advice from him, nah. He's not telling, he is the truth. But he ain't telling a lot of truths when it comes to advice.
That's insane. He's telling his truth.
Oh, boy.
All right. Branching off of that, now that we're a little bit older and more mature, you know, when you're younger, you might slide into Rihanna or Beyonce's DMs or something like that. But now that we're older and more mature, do you think that dating celebrities may be overrated? I'm asking Stefon Diggs and Cardi B, who may be live from a Maryland coffee shop right now.
Is it overrated? I think it would really depend on the person. Like, dating Cardi B absolutely is overrated. Everybody's already seen what needs to be seen, and she is insane. Attitude is crazy. I would avoid that type of person, celebrity or not. Now, some of these other celebs, probably fine. Probably fine.
Here's what I find interesting, Joshua Perry, is that the man that asked us this question, I think, is living this lifestyle right
Ooh.
Now. You're dating a celebrity.
This is true.
And you're also, in the minds of some, a celebrity.
Celebrity to me.
Wow. So
there's a difference between public figure and celebrity. I'm a public figure.
Okay. But you're also delayed dating someone that is in the public eye.
True.
That would be deemed a celebrity public figure. So you.
Yeah, people see her face. They got to go on YouTube to try to see yours.
That's true.
So answer your own question. It's a much smaller scale. But
then I say no. All I'm saying is I don't want to be Stephon Diggs.
No. I mean, that whole situation with his chef, and they had to go to court, and
that's
like,
that's
just crazy. He's doing a lot. Just,
I don't want...
He's put himself in these positions.
I agree.
Yeah, like, but he is dealing with a lot. I saw the other day, like, Pete Davidson, and I believe the girl that he just had a baby with, they're now separated. And I think she literally, I want to say she just had the baby maybe a couple months
ago. Pete Davidson's got some of the most inexplicable game.
I agree. Because the dude is objectively ugly.
There's some stuff out there to where people have tried to explain why.
You can't explain here?
No. Don't Google it at work. I'll say. Yeah. That's just what is out there as to why he does this or pulls it off. I don't know.
I still, even then, like, is that it? Like, really?
You got to ask them. Ask Kim Kardashian. Ask all these.
Well, it doesn't last, so clearly it's not it. This dude's been in a million relationships. So, I mean, it might be fun for a little
correct,
bit, but clearly they're ready to move on.
Ready to move on.
He's got a niche, though. Like, there are definitely some girls out there. There are some girls who have, like, odd celebrity crushes, and like Pete Davidson is one who it's like it's not abnormal.
I've heard that so many times too,
and it's like it's just like that type of girl, and it's like, I don't know why you see him. Like, I understand what we're talking about is like, okay, the people who are actually dating him, they get to explore that, but just random girls who are just like regular people who have celebrity crushes and it's Pete Davidson, it's like,
oh, he's
what
funny.
Is the appeal?
Oh, he's so funny.
Well, he's a comedian, so I'll give him that. He's funny.
That'll do it. It's an eye roll for me.
There's Tell the Truth for today. JP, as always, appreciate you coming by.
Appreciate
Thanks for
you
your time.
Me.
TLC, great job on the board doing your thing as always. Folks, we appreciate your time. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at high noon. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb.
With lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.